Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
37 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. You are up next.
Hello.
Yes.
Wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to say I came across your program by accident, and this is one of the more informative programs I've ever heard. And I've never called a radio show before, but I was drawn to call on this topic.
Yes. Thank you very much for doing so.
Absolutely, and I think you're an excellent interviewer. No matter who your guest is, you're forcing them to answer the questions that we're all waiting to hear the answers to, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's going on in South America is, of course, relevant to everything that happens in this hemisphere, but I feel that the World Bank is committing acts of ass play when forcing people to eat BM on the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. There is really no telling, is there? I am personally offended by this. Don't do it again. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to. You're gone. Don't call me again.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
Yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in this company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
First of all, membership is for life. Take your time, change your mind, you'll never be rushed. Although usually our members find their purchase in around 6 months or so. If you get hit by a train 10 years from now, it's a lifetime membership, you're reinstated for free.
Richard Gere's a real hero of mine. Sting would be another person who's a hero. The music that he's created over the years, I don't really listen to it, but the fact that he's making it, I respect that.
When you look at the black race, black people are very gifted in what we call worship and celebration. A lot of us like to dance. If you go to a black church, you see people jumping up and down because they really get into it. White people were blessed with the gift of structure and organization.
Right.
You have to do a good job of building businesses and things of that nature. And you know how to tap into money pretty much better than a lot of people do around the world.
Right.
Hispanics were gifted in family structure. And you can see a Hispanic person, and they could put 20 or 30 people in one home. They were gifted in the family structure.
Friend.
When you look at the Asian is very gifted in creation, creativity, and inventions. If you go to Japan or any Asian country, they can turn a television into a watch.
They're very creative.
Then you look at the Indians. They've been very gifted in the spirituality. When you put all of that together, guess what it makes? It forms a complete image of God.
Imitate is the wrong word. It's not really an impersonation.
What's that?
Captures you.
He captures me?
Yeah. Captures you.
Now, you listen, you little fruit basket. I am nothing like that basket. He's a pathetic, annoying nobody, and I am Hank Kingsley.
That's what I was saying.
Kingsley. I'm sorry, did I forget to say now? Here you go.
Don't get too cocky, my boy, about how good you are. Don't ever let them see you coming. That's the gap, my friend. You got to keep yourself small. Innocuous. You're the little guy. Not a nerd. A leper. Look at me. Underestimated from day one. You'd never think I was a master of the universe now, would you? That's your only weakness, as far as I can see.
I could give a shit about North Carolina right now. I've got 13 kids in that locker room that I love.
Coach, thank you.
I'm talking with Dennis Wilburn about your renegotiation this morning. Paul. Jerry Rice. Andre Reed. Chris Carter. I smoke all these fools. Yet they are making the big sweet dollar. They are making the fun. And you're talking. Now listen, to all you men here with wives or girlfriends or sisters or mothers, yes, I did sex them up a little bit. Oh, wait a second, there's something else I want to say. And in most cases, it was really good.
Donovan back to pass. He's got a man open in the end zone. It's Joe Artinger. The pass is there, and he drops the ball. And the Eagles did not win the Super Bowl. As we review this Super Bowl, it was all Joe Artinger's fault.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're freaking fired.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, we saw him.
No. We saw him all over the boardwalk at Ocean City this weekend.
Come on, Al. You got it all over me, Al.
They were everywhere.
It's from a true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
I agree. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Rockhead. And all the ships at sea. America's favorite Masters debaters. Here are golf fans, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Ralphie. And hi, and thanks for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show. New episode on this Monday. April 14th.
Nice.
Phone number from America, 877-365-3636. Canada,
home of Masters champion Mike Weir,
800-636-1067. And D.C., 202-432-1067.
Hi, Donna Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Buzz and I have some tales to share.
Oh. Did it happen, boys?
From our weekend. No, that didn't happen. But
Welcome.
Someone called for a doctor.
Welcome.
Someone called for a doctor.
Welcome.
Someone called for a doctor.
Welcome. You'll notice that today it was done without the cheat end. That's cool.
There you go. I like it without the cheat end. I really do.
No cheating.
I like to cheat.
And remember my motto, guys.
Yeah?
Yes.
Eating ain't cheating.
There you go. You've said that for years.
Good motto.
Yeah.
If you ever get a tattoo, Mike, that'd be a good one for you to get.
Yeah, get it, and maybe I'll get it right on my...
on your thing.
My thing.
Eating ain't cheating.
I'd probably get eaten A. Eaten A. That's about all. Yeah, who am I kidding? I'd get eat.
That might be good.
So, hi, and welcome to the show. Listen, a large part of today's show is going to be devoted to the weekend that Frida and I spent with Buzz and Marcia.
You really ought to have some sort of musical theme whenever you mention it, I think. I mean, it just would seem to me, whenever you bring up the fact, would there be music that would be appropriate for your weekend with Buzz and Marcia?
Well, let me just say, for parts of it... this would be appropriate.
Yes, very, very, very good. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
And then there's another portion of the week. I'm waiting for Rob to find the music right now in the rack. You know, eventually when we go to this computer system, they tell me that we'll be able to pull this stuff up
And with just a moment's notice.
That'll be great, won't it?
Yeah, but that, you know what? That's not going to be any fun.
It's
fun watching Rob scurry around when whisper to him.
There it is, Rob, right there.
It's been moved.
Okay, so part of the weekend would be this. But part of the weekend was...
Wow, now that's a tease right there. So we'll get to... We'll get to all of that in just a second.
Our lead story is Rockhead on MSNBC on Friday night. Oh, but even before that, I don't know how many of you logged time with the Masters Golf Tournament this weekend.
I logged quite a bit of time with it.
Very exciting. For me, I didn't mind the fact there were no commercials.
It looked great in high def.
However, I will tell you that I did find... That gets you mad, huh?
Oh, that he's man, high def. He knows it gets me mad.
My favorite part of the Masters was not covered on TV.
Yes.
And you had to watch ESPN or one of the news channels.
What happened?
Okay, that lady Martha Burke.
Yeah, the protester that wants women at at Augusta.
Mm-hmm. Right, so she's doing her protest, and there are, I'll be generous and say maybe 40 people who are there on her side.
Protesting with her.
Yes. There are over 100 people in the media.
Hey, it's a lady.
There are also, and I'm going to do these in order, transvestites, including a transvestite who was dressed as a nun, but an Uncle Sam nun.
Right.
Her face was painted, his face was painted red, white, and blue. Over his beard.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of publicity about this protest.
There was also an Elvis impersonator.
Hey!
Right? Because he was walking around trying to pick up girls, and they interviewed him on the news. They said, "What are you doing here?" And the guy said, "Well, I thought this event needed Elvis."
Did the Klan show up like they were supposed to?
The Klan showed up, and...
God.
The moment, they were so desperate for anybody to interview, at one point on CNBC, they were interviewing the Grand Wizard, and
God,
I swear to God,
oh my,
they asked the Grand Wizard of the KKK two questions.
Okay,
how do you launder the thing?
Uniform, the sheep.
That had to be a gag question.
And how do you fold it? It was serious questions.
Who's the idiot reporter?
I don't know.
I mean, that would be great if it was Mad TV asking the question.
But the true highlight was, at one point, this lady, Martha Burke, she says, "I am not only surrounded by women who support me, there are men in the crowd who support me." And a guy gets up on the podium, and... Rob, give me a little fake echo.
Okay.
Because he gets it, which is that, one or two?
Number two.
He goes... I just want to say it's not a real popular stance to take, but I appreciate what Martha has to say, and I have something I would like to say. And then he held up a sign that said, "Make me dinner."
Oh my God.
And after the crowd laughed as they were rushing to get him off the stage, he turned the sign over and it said, "Iron my shirt."
Oh, God.
Not covered on the major networks.
Oh, that is a shame.
You had to search. You had to watch, like, sports.
Oh, how funny is that?
But fantastico.
Oh, my God. Really? So a guy just duped his way into it.
Make dinner.
Iron my shirt.
Fantastic.
Oh, God.
But our lead story is the fact that... the dumbest intern we've ever had, Joe Rockhead, who was on the show Friday.
Yes.
Was on MSNBC Friday night. You know, he's some kind of media consultant correspondent now. And
incidentally, and I didn't say this because I didn't want to hurt his feelings when he was here. He's faking it. Is anybody aware of that?
Thank you for that.
Do you see the outfit he's wearing?
He's trying
to look like he's a 60-year-old George F. Will.
We all knew it. I think we called him on it on Friday.
I think he admitted it, actually.
Don't they know you're faking it?
Look at the hold to me. I tell you, he got some style person got their hands on him and said, "Here's the way," because he's got that nerd boy inside the Beltway look that all the news stations love to have in D.C.
Well, we did ask that when he was on MSNBC Friday night at 10 o'clock, 7 o'clock West Coast, that he said the word indubitably.
Right.
And he did. And now let's go to the tape.
the indubitable brutality.
Hold on. Will I play the short one or the long one?
The indubitable brutality.
You know, they're miscued.
With me now in Washington to discuss CNN's decision not to report the truth is Matthew Felling. He's media director at the Center for Media and Public Affairs. We have a book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, which is a gem of journalism and history. It talks about the brutality of Hitler, and I think that what we are going to find out after the chips are down and after we have the stories that are now being told, and thank God they're being told, is the indubitable brutality of Saddam and his regime, and the truth is going to come out now, and that's the most important part.
There you go. So
he's the hammerhead.
And for Rob, he worked in Hitler.
Yeah, it was great.
The indubitable brutality.
Incredible. Way to go, Matt. But he's funny. You know, I give him a lot of credit because he really is. He's got stones. That's what he's got.
The indubitable brutality.
There he is on MSNBC. Mike said.
Oh, no.
He's a hammerhead. Well, I'll turn it off.
Click, click.
There you go.
Hey, and how about those prisoners getting released?
Oh, that's great.
That's the best story of the war.
Absolutely.
I mean,
agreed.
That is so cool.
The
black girl that was there at the very beginning, I'd never seen a face of fear more than when she was first captured and they put that on TV. Yeah. Then that was the only footage I saw of the prisoners being taken. And I remember that just ripping me up to see that. And then to see her being freed, it just was, man, fantastic.
I saw one interview that I really dug with one of the Marines that went in to rescue them. And this is kind of graphic. And it's what we said we were going to stay away from. But I'm going to make a point here on good journalism and what I consider bad journalism. They had this Marine, they were interviewing him, and he was saying he's not a hero, he was doing his job, but that he saw Jessica.
The Jessica Lynch?
Yes.
Right.
That she was naked, tied upside down from her feet,
yes,
hanging by her feet, and they're beating her with a baseball bat.
Oh.
He said at that moment he decided his life didn't matter, he was going to go in and rescue her. So now while that's gruesome, that's good journalism. What I don't like are these ambush interviews that the TV people have to get with the parents of the POWs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it's a happy moment. They're coming back home.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, they've been injured. They've been shot. They need medical attention. But the last goddamn thing you need is to open your door at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and see some big four-headed doofus from CNN going, "Can we ask what your son said? What were you thinking when you got the phone call from your son?" I mean, what do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think they were thinking? They were thinking, and the one that pushed me over the edge is one I saw this morning. A couple that had obviously agreed to be on whatever it was today or CNN, whatever it was. And they were saying, "So your son is okay? He was on the telephone with you." And it was generally lighthearted. They said, "What did your son say?" And he said that they took his checkbook and that they got his Visa card, so make sure you cancel those accounts. And they said, "Well, it sounds like he had a bit of levity." Good. And then the reporter goes right into, "And how did he take the news that his sister had died while he was overseas?"
There you go.
Apparently the sister had been sick for some reason. You know, why even go down that road?
Right. Hey, and you know, nobody threw Geraldo out of Iraq.
Oh, my God.
Geraldo's all over. I saw this morning.
I saw him last night sucking up to some major.
Oh, he was sucking up to all the guys. They let him. And, you know, ever since I heard the story about the Marines that are putting their hands down their pants between two pillows and then shaking Geraldo's hands, I now watch every Geraldo story with a grain of salt. He was blowing up a tank.
I saw that, and I saw him on TV where he said, "Thanks, I've always wanted to blow up stuff."
Boys and their toys.
Like what a cherry bombs.
What a stupid comment to make.
I hope those guys are putting their pants in between the cracks of their behind before
their hands, you mean?
Yeah. What did I say?
Their pants.
I hope they're putting their hands back there, and their hands are good and covered with what comes out there when they shake his hands.
Yeah.
You know they got to hate the fact that douchebag is running around. And the outfit he had on yesterday, he had like a cowboy scarf tied around his neck.
What?
And he's surrounded by these Marines. These guys, they are the real deal.
Yeah.
They're over there you know, making things okay, whether you agree with the war or not, these are the guys.
No, they're the best. Ours are the best in the world. There's just no question about
it. These are the guys that, in a pinch, they save our ass.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to know that even if it's a puff piece, they hate the fact that that douchebag Geraldo Rivera is there.
Ever since I heard that story, yeah, I'm sure they're all very happy to be on television so that their loved ones back home can see them.
Right.
But he interviewed a guy that got a Bronze Star, that one of the guys in a firefight that won a Bronze Star. And it's just, it's cool that, you know, they're handing out Bronze Stars, that there's been that kind of, and I hope people remember as easy as this seems to have been, that there's a lot of that kind of valor going on over there. But he's talking to Geraldo, and he's talking like, I equate it with what your son and his peers must be like when they're around you and your wife sometimes. You know the way kids act around adults, where it's kind of like, you know, they're kind of quiet.
Well, here's the thing that I noticed even more with Geraldo with these guys. He's putting his arm around the major.
Yeah, he's too handy.
And he's putting his arms around the regular soldiers, mm-hmm. and they're not returning
right.
any of this physical love or bonding or whatever it is that Geraldo's got going.
You see when he's interviewing the ambassador today in Qatar, and he's got the, he's resting his hand on the shoulder of one of the GIs or one of the Marines. That's like, get your hand off him. This isn't your little audience. It's like he's got toddlers there, and it's
but
not
you're
right.
The worst was he said, and I've got exclusive footage where they let me go inside one of the bunkers to see all of the ammo, and then
fire in the hole.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? And then they let me, now, and again, you know it wasn't him specifically, but Geraldo said, they let me blow up one of the tanks.
This is another, I'm just thinking back on all my missteps over the years, you know, that I was a Geraldo.
It might not have been a tank. It might have been an anti-aircraft.
What he blew up this morning, what I saw him blow up was a tank. They blew up an Iraqi tank.
Well, then it might have been a repeat of what I saw last night.
I'm sure.
But he said the same thing about boys will be boys in their toys, and that was great. That reminds me of my days with the cherry bombs.
And he's Fox, right?
Yeah.
Fox has just pissed me off. I've gone back to CNN, incidentally, with this
number one.
Because, you know, I saw an anchor on Fox. Now I'm sorry. I agree with that. That morning show is a different entity. Because the morning show with our friend Steve Ducey on it, they're more commentary than anything else. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's, you know, they're not really under the guise of being journalists. But I saw an anchor on Fox come back after they had some footage of Bush, and the anchor just is sitting there with just a headshot and goes, "What a commander in chief!"
Well, wow. Buzz and I,
and it's that's totally wrong.
Buzz and I had the exact same moment. Now, listen, we're all for being patriots,
of course.
And you know, man, I couldn't agree more.
We're all on the side of the United States,
right?
8 o'clock Sunday morning, mm-hmm. Buzz and I were together,
right?
After a night of glory. Anyway, we're down in the kitchen having coffee, right. And it comes on the TV. It's on CNN, right. And they're giving a report. Right. They're saying, great news for everybody back at home.
Just for fun.
We are getting the reports that the 7 POWs have been released. Mm-hmm. And I said to Buzz, let me turn on Fox right. for a second. We turn on Fox News Channel, and the first thing we hear the anchor guy say is, well, this will show them they can't mess with the United States of America. You take our guys and our women, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to get them back.
This is a message to the world that we look out for our own.
You know,
that's not what anchors are supposed to do.
Not normally, right, yeah.
I mean, you know, and they don't have the right to say that. It's the generals and the enlisted guys and the guys with the guns that can make that kind of statement.
And they would, or if commentary, they were allowed
to. Even somebody who's doing commentary can do that. When I watch Fox, the Fox network, and what I get the impression of is that everybody there is competing with their fellow anchors, mm-hmm. to see who can kiss Rupert Murdoch's ass the most.
Right.
Because they're all, obviously, the company line is, do this rah-rah stuff, which really, to me, that's not what I look at journalism for. And they're all trying to out-rah-rah each other, and it's just, mm-hmm. I think it's great with commentary. It's great when you hear people.
The thing is,
it's just not right when you're watching a news organization.
For an anchor, no.
It's okay for Fox to have the American flag in the upper left-hand corner, mm-hmm. that goes between the word Fox and between the word live. It's okay to have the lapel pins. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have the red, white, and blue on the bottom of the screen with the ticker. It's it's even okay to say we're the good guys, mm-hmm. and thank God our POWs are out of there.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Who could not? I don't think you have any Americanism in you at all if that story doesn't move you about our POWs coming back.
The guy that Buzz and I heard the first night, it was a press story. This is a message to the world.
Right.
Now they'll know.
I wonder if that frog-looking guy, that dink, he's a young guy, he's the worst.
Shepard Smith?
I think that might be it. I think that might be the guy. You know,
I've seen him a lot.
He's another one that's just like, hey, it's almost like they're too young. It's like they're too young to really get it, and they haven't been through a lot of these big stories, and it's just, we have to I hope people remember in this country that we rely on certain news organizations to kind of keep it all in perspective and all in balance,
yeah.
Because I'm all for the United States of America, but one of the great things about this country is that we tell it like it is, and we tell it all like it is, ugly, whatever. You
here's
know?
What we must remember, and I'm a fan of the Fox News Network because they're like Fox Television. You got to understand that what they're doing
they are show business.
With their own rules.
Yeah. With them, they're not covering a war.
Right.
It's a reality show.
You're absolutely. You know what? You're right.
It's a 24-hour-a-day reality show,
and that's crap.
And that's how they're playing it.
And it's crap. And I think it's bad. And it's very bad. And I hope they get called.
It's working for them. They're number one in the ratings.
You got the dish. You go to Channel 360.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's what you're going to get.
Right.
You're going to get it.
I got into 24/7. I got into the habit, like a lot of Americans, of going to 360 to get the news instead of CNN. I got so frustrated with the lack of objectivity, which is, you know, obviously when we're in a strained situation, you're going to be, you know, everybody's going to get their patriotism up and everybody's going to do this, but you look at your journalists, especially your straight news guys, as the objective people, and I went back to CNN because I found it to be at least a more, they emphasized the reporting element and they didn't emphasize this, that just goes to show the world. There's something really weird about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's nuts. It's just all freaking nuts.
But it is, you know, I tell you, it's great to see the things going the way they're going,
yep.
and I hope they continue to go this way because it's a good feeling.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, where'd you get off busting on Geraldo?
Geraldo's a douchebag.
No, I really, with all due respect, there's not one iota of substance to your show every day, and you have the gall to bust on a valid reporter?
Yeah, okay, hold on. Stop right there. This is the same guy that opened Al Capone's empty vault.
This is
the same guy that had a TV talk show that had more fights than Jerry Springer.
And I was somebody who used to be a fan of Geraldo's. I used to like what Geraldo did back with his TV show. I thought he had one of the few shows of its kind that actually had some substance to it. But what we're talking about is Geraldo's style of journalism during this conflict. It's just a little too light.
Your comparison doesn't work because he's supposed to be a news guy and this is supposed to be an entertainment show, and then you can't compare the two.
You know, unfortunately, I hate to say it because the guy's gone now, but I mean, that guy, David Bloom, mm-hmm. was somebody who, you know, who kept it light, but also kept that balance where you knew you were watching a guy doing a report. And the way I understand it, and it might be because he passed away, but the way I understood it, the guys that were in his company, the soldiers, really got along well with him. That's why they named the tank after him.
They didn't put their hands
right
in the crack of their butts before they shook his hand.
Mm-hmm. He earned their respect.
Jesus.
Well, that, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
What's good about Geraldo?
It's not what's good about it. He's a valid reporter who has balls enough to go over there and bring us some kind of a story, whether it be...
Wait. Hold on. He's the guy that opened Al Capone's vault. He's the guy that got punched when he had a talk show and had his nose broken. That would be like sending Jerry Springer over there and saying,
right,
Jerry Springer is a reporter. Geraldo's not a reporter. Geraldo's on the same level as Mike and I.
Well, now you're comparing them to you. And that's my point.
But, exactly. Well, we're better looking.
And he passes himself off as a reporter, however, or tries to.
We say to you openly, we're douchebag disc jockeys. You know, we got no problem with that, but we're not here trying to tell you, listen to us because we're valued, what was the word you used, a viable reporter?
Right. I think really, if you get anything, what the three of us have been saying at the beginning of this show, if you get anything of the main point of what we're saying is, we like our news to be just that, to be news. We like it to be, you know, the reporters telling it straight.
Yeah. As opposed to, if you let Buzz say a few words without cutting in and stomping all over, I really enjoy that segment.
I do fine, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, you're another, you know what you are, my friend? You're you're an armchair quarterback.
Okay, now I'm going to get the verbal assault, right, Don?
Yeah.
Because I didn't call for that.
Because that's my modus operandi.
For that, I just recognized his voice again.
Listen, here's the deal. Armchair quarterback, don't like our show, turn it off. If you really think you got a handle on it, get in the biz. Get a show.
Go for it.
Well, unfortunately, that's not my choice of careers. I mean, I think you guys do a fine job. Don't get me wrong.
Well, you said the opposite.
No, I just said you're comparing yourself to Geraldo, but
I'm saying both Geraldo and this show are laughable.
It would be like having us over there doing reports.
But you're not. You're not. Both of you sit in your ivory tower. You're busting on a guy who has the balls to go over there.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and disagree that a correspondent that goes into a war situation doesn't have a level of courage. I think anybody that goes over there that chooses that assignment, there is a level of balls there. I'm not going to bust on. I don't think we have dissed Geraldo on his balls. I think one thing Geraldo does have is balls,
but it's
sometimes too much.
It's just his technique, his broadcasting. I mean, it's not an entertainment program. To say they let me blow up a tank and then say, boys and their toys, it's like cherry bombs.
That's not news.
Well, I've been listening to Geraldo for years. I just think that he deserves a little bit better than what you're giving him.
Everybody always has to
and
say.
How did you feel when he had his nose broken on his talk show?
Well, you're talking about certain situations, but
about Geraldo. Answer the question. How did you feel about him when he had his nose broken on his talk show?
I was embarrassed by that, and I was embarrassed by the fact that with the Al Capone's flop. But every dog has his day.
And how did you feel when Geraldo was on TV in the sand, marking out where our guys were, showing everybody in the world where our troops were and what they were going to do?
Well, that, sir, was a choice of the U.S. government to allow reporters to be embedded with our troops.
Okay, and the deal is, sir, that when our reporters are embedded, part of the deal is, part of the deal is, okay, if we tell you something, don't be such a douche that you go on TV and immediately draw a map in the sand.
You know, I want to speak to something that you said about we sit in our ivory towers. We had an opportunity, or we thought we had, and it blew up, unfortunately, pardon the pun, but it didn't work out because it got vetoed at a higher level. But a few years back, we had a chance to go over. They were talking about us going over to do our show from Bosnia, and we were about as jacked about that as two guys can get. It didn't work out. The same thing would go for this. Apparently, the powers that be in the military don't feel that this is the kind of show that they want to send over there. But I will tell you, it's different than saying, hey, how would you react in a war situation? I will tell you that I know Don and I know me. And if we had an opportunity to go over there and they let us do our show over there,
they do it in a heartbeat.
I mean, it would be probably one of the best opportunities that we ever had in our career, and I'd love it. And I wish we could.
Okay, well, just lay off the Geraldo.
No.
And I'm a former fan of Geraldo, and I think he's acting like a hump.
Okay. All right, well, every man's entitled to his opinion.
Yeah, just like you.
Opinions are just like a-holes, and think about this. Think about all of our American soldiers putting their hands down there before they shake your man's hand.
He's not my man. All right. I think I've said enough.
He's a viable reporter. Except for when he had his nose broken. And he opened Al Capone's vault. And when he got when he got on network TV and drew a diagram in the sand to show the enemy exactly where we were going to be attacking. Except for that.
I think we're going to do the thing that we did in Desert Storm. Hopefully, if that works out, when all the guys come back, when this action is over, that we'll have the same kind of party that we had for the guys when they came back from death. And don't you think we should make it bigger this time?
Oh, the party?
Alan Goodman let us do when we did it for the guys coming back from Dennis Trump was use the courtyard at WAVA and get like two kegs.
We're going to have a bigger party this time. Absolutely.
That's great.
Hold on. Someone
Thanks, guys.
Hold on. Hello.
Hold on.
Hey, douchebag. Shut up, douchebag. Get off the damn phone. You're not allowed to call the show no more. He's a butthole. He don't know what he's talking about. Rolando Rivera knocked up his damn babysitter, for Christ's sake.
Listen, you hick. Listen to me, all right? You guys down there in Virginia or wherever the hell you are might be buying this crap, but I'm not. Us guys up here in Philly are not buying this crap, okay?
So you speak for the entire city of Philadelphia.
Yes, sir, I do.
Where we've been very warmly received, I should add.
Where we'll be, incidentally, on Friday, May 2nd. So I'll bet you between now and then, Geraldo does some other dumb stunt.
Sure, because he's still over there.
To get himself in hot water.
He's going
to
do something, because what Geraldo tries to do is not really just cover the war. Geraldo tries to do the stunt, like a disc jockey would, that's going to get him noticed.
Right.
That's what he's going to do.
You know what he is?
I'm going to sit inside the tank and blow it up.
I'll stand in my opinion that he's a violent.
Geraldo, let me just tell you, Geraldo is the Opie and Anthony of the Fox News channel.
Hey, I I'll be honest with you, I thought ONA was great. That was a great entertainment.
Right, they were viable disc jockeys.
Yes, they were.
Explains so much.
I would call them DJs, but they were viable. Their show did have a lot of substance. I think your show is also very funny, but you know, I don't feel that you should really. I think you should give.
Listen, Geraldo is a douchebag.
Okay. All right, Don. Well, I know you're very strong opinion that I'm not going to certainly. I don't want to change your mind or Mike's mind.
Good, because you can't. You can't.
Okay. You guys have a great day.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Oh, he could change my mind. I there's a real easy way to do that.
How's that?
It's not going to happen while we're on the air.
Ah.
It usually happens after the air, and just to, you know, give me the right amount of booze. You can work on me and just really wear me out. Don's done that before many, many times. Ply me with alcohol. I'll come over to your side.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Because it's an honor and a pleasure. God, and don't you want to shoot every disc jockey that says that? It's an honor and a privilege to call your show. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, I feel like I'm calling NPR. Anyway.
Hold on a second. I just want to say the one thing at the Masters coverage, you mentioned the great stuff that I didn't say, but the one word, if I heard it one more time, I swear to God, I was going to kick in the television set. Magical. If I heard magical, that was a magical putt.
Nancy,
what a magical shot that! And
Nancy was at his fairy-like best.
Jesus, magical! Well,
and part of the reason is there was no commercials, right? So there were no sponsors. So all they had to do was fill.
Magical. He really was at the very top of his majestic green grass, coupled at Hogan Bridge. And they come, and the looper, and the relationship between the golfer and the caddy in this magical, wonderful land.
Magical. That was really magical. What a magical putt. Magical, magical fairy dust.
It was a magical. I'll give you one. The guy that lost.
Len Matisse.
Coming up to the 18th.
Bummer. He's a good guy. I wish he won.
Before they got to overtime, he goes, a magical moment for Len and his dad when on Friday during a practice round.
Right.
He called his dad up and let his dad take out an iron and hit one off the fabled 18th tee at Augusta. Magical.
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 A magical moment.
You know what's magical?
What?
Lucky Charms. Because they're magically delicious.
Magically delicious.
That's magic.
Right.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I had to get that off my chest.
I'm glad that you guys took the standpoint of... these reporters over in the Middle East should not be commentary. They should be reporting.
Right.
And that's all I have to say. And I'm really glad you, as entertainers, are saying that and have come forward. Yeah. And I totally congratulate Mike on his liberal standpoint about the war. You guys take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, for me,
I'll tell you, and my liberal standpoint prior to the action, I want to make it real clear, doesn't prohibit me from being delighted that this has been a successful military campaign.
Amen.
And I do, and I mean really, and I hope everybody feels the same way, and you can have that stance about the war before it happens, and you can still support the troops when they go into action. That's what makes this country great, as far as I'm concerned.
One more call, because we're starting to get into serious land here. When we were goofing on Geraldo.
Yeah, I just
got to
cover, I got it, because I'll get a lot of,
hello,
Don.
I don't want to get a lot of,
yeah, hi.
Geraldo is a camera whore. That's his problem.
Thank you. All right.
Do you remember the bombings last year in Israel, the suicide bombings? Where was Geraldo a week later? He was in Israel. Remember when Afghanistan started and that 50 caliber bullet went over his head? I mean, he's just a camera whore. He wants to be where the action is, just like you
remember?
Said.
You remember that?
You remember that?
Do you remember when he was in Afghanistan?
Do you remember when...
That was cool.
When you were with the Beatles?
That was cool.
You remember when he got his nose broken?
Do you remember when he opened Al Capone's vault?
You remember that?
That was awesome!
I know, we're doing a Chris Farley thing right now. Sorry.
Let's clear the lines.
That's something Homer Simpson said last night that cracked me up. He had broken up with Marge.
Really?
Well, not, you know, they got back together. But he said, without Marge, he said, I'm like David Spade without Chris Farley.
Oh, that's great.
Listen, we've not even gotten to the weekend yet. And man, do I have some stuff to tell you. Phone number, 877-365-3636.
Remember when you went to the beach with Buzz?
It's awesome. $1,000 right now. Caller 100, you animals. Dial with your fingers.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
May I help you?
Yes. This is not the best breakfast I ever ate, and I'd like my money back.
Okay. I believe you have to fill out a form for that.
No. I'd like my money back now.
I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. You see, I have to fill out a form, and, well, you ate most of it already, so...
See that sign? It says 100% guaranteed. You know what the meaning of guarantee is? Did they teach you that here?
Sir, if you just wait a minute...
Look, just put your little hand back in the cash register and give me my $2.75 back, please, Brad.
Sir, if you just give me a minute, I'll find the forms. I'll take care of everything.
I don't have a minute. You've made me late enough. I am so tired of dealing with incompetence. It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Listen, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
The Don and Mike Show.
Dogs love cheese, and people love the Don and Mike Show.
As I mentioned, we're going to be doing some traveling soon. I got some firm dates I'll throw out at you.
All right.
I was on the phone with, we need the sound effect, Rob. I was on with Tim Sabian today for a good long while of manic back and forth discussions.
Can I say personally, thank you.
You're welcome.
Because, I mean, it's either that or sit in his office. And I really, if there's any way that maybe I could avoid that forever.
You can on May 2nd, Mike.
Oh, we're going to be up there?
Yep. Friday, May 2nd. We're broadcasting live from WYSB in Philadelphia. Tell you why in a couple of seconds.
Oh, boy.
There he is.
Wow.
That's for Tim.
Better hit the beard, Tim.
There you go. That's for Tim. He's a weird bird.
No.
You know, like, 2 months I don't hear Jack.
Right.
But all of a sudden today it was, hey, dude, what's happening? When are you guys coming up here?
You know.
So he's
strange.
He's Tim. But we love him.
Yeah.
Saturday, May 17, Reno.
We're going.
All right.
Radio station, The Buzz. That will be an off-air trip to Reno, where we're going out just to do an appearance.
All right.
And if you're listening to us on Live 105 in Baltimore, we're working something out for Baltimore very soon.
Amen.
We're going to be coming up there, too. We're getting our spring schedule all ready.
Good.
So it's Philly, Friday, May 2nd. Reno, Saturday, May 17th.
Right.
And Balmerhan, probably... sometime either before or after that.
There, that's good.
Perfect. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Caller 100.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we have a trip.
Yes. Oh, and Rob and I got to write that down.
Sometime in the month of June.
In June, Rob and I to Sacramento.
See, what you boys ought to do is you ought to combine.
Yeah.
That would count.
I'd give you a free pass on that one.
No thanks. believe it or not, I'm looking forward to it.
I know you are.
I am.
I believe you.
I am. It'd be fun going out there without my wife. Who I love dearly and I spent all weekend with.
Of course you do.
And, Buzz and I had quite a few moments. Well, let me get to the caller.
Yes, very good, because I know you've got a lot to say.
And I'll tell you some of the moments that Buzz and I shared.
Bonding, I think.
As we waited for our wives to discuss cosmetics and stuff. What is your name?
It's Jay.
Jay, where are you from?
Sterling.
On WJFK-FM. Jay, you've got tickets for Santana, Nissan Pavilion.
Nice.
Saturday, June 14. Go to NissanPavilion.com. Plus, a dinner at the Crystal City Restaurant.
Hey, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, now that...
Take your mom.
That, of course, is...
Or my girlfriend.
Or maybe just go by yourself.
Or take a buddy.
Crystal City has hot girl EDC. Now, they're not... The slug's not written right.
That's right. I agree.
It's not hot girls. It's hot nude girls.
Well, not all nude.
Topless.
Technically... They wear pasties.
Yeah, but you come on.
Don't they wear pasties at the Crystal City Restaurant?
They do. Yes, they do.
Yeah, but you can.
Well, they wear the kind of pasties like the same one that they wear down in Florida, where you, you know, if you wear the right ones, it doesn't even look like you're wearing anything.
That's right. Hot girls, great food, and a clean atmosphere.
It is good food
in Crystal City on Restaurant Row. Go to CrystalCityRestaurant.com. Now you'll play.
It's a great steak.
You'll play for $1,000. With this common everyday sound, and this will be the last day before we start giving clues.
Good.
And decreasing the amount of money. Just know this, it is a common everyday sound. It is not a stapler. It is not a briefcase. It is not a door. It is also not a can.
Of any kind.
A soda can, a beer can, a can of coffee.
Can like the toilet?
No, I can't say that, Mike. It's not a can of beans, but it's not a metal can. Are you ready?
Boy, I've opened up a can of worms.
All right, I'll play you the sound now. Give you 15 seconds. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Cypress Hill.
Oh, it's got to be Insane in Membrane.
You're damn right.
Oh, there it is. Hold on, everything's out of order.
Dollar, name this sound.
There it is. There's the sound again. Sorry about
insane
that.
Insane in the membrane. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Like
now,
that.
See, mine is nonverbal. I just point it.
Yeah, yeah, I can tell when he approves. He gives me a little. That's dead on.
That's right.
Thank you, Lisa.
For $1,000, what's the sound?
I'm going to have to go with film being loaded into a camera.
Such a bad liar. But I'll give you a clue.
Oh, at least, we're sorry.
At least it's a better guest than we've had in the past.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, my friend. Don't forget that every guest is a clue for you. Rob, would you practice that all weekend?
All weekend.
The Oscar goes to...
Rob is acting. Oscar loved Rob.
He depletes like 80% of the oxygen here when he does that.
So before I get to the story that really I'm going to need a lot of time to tell...
Really?
...about something that happened in a public place, I will tell you that the Burbanks came to the Ocean City, to the beach, to spend the weekend with us. And it's weird, everybody was involved in this except for you, Mike, because Rob and Carrie house sat for us at our home with our kid.
Right.
Because our kid is to that age, he's 18, we say, hey, we're going to the beach, do you want to go? No. So we can't leave him at home alone.
Well, you'd have like 500 cars there, right?
Right.
Is that the reason? I mean, he's capable of staying on his own.
No, he certainly can stay home alone. It's just, it would be like old school.
Yeah.
So Uncle Rob and Aunt Carrie come over and they watch him.
Does he resent that?
No, he digs Rob.
Really?
Yeah, he digs Rob.
Does he know that he's being watched?
Yes.
Sure.
Of course he does.
It just seems interesting.
It's
Rob, does he have some kind of deal with you?
Tell the truth.
He better not.
No more than 6 beers, right? I mean, that's the ceiling for you. That's right. For you. He's fun. He's fun to hang out with. He and Carrie get along really well, too, so it works out well.
Gives Rob a wad of cash.
And help me to keep in touch with the youth of America.
Oh, God, that didn't disappoint right there.
He's a nice kid. Although, you know, I'll tell you something we have coming up on the horizon, speaking of the beach, that we're not looking forward to, and that is Senior Week.
Mm. Ooh, is he going to be down there for that?
Yeah, that's where they go.
Wow.
Right. So, we'll get up to the beach. Oh, and incidentally, the guy that called in from Billy's.
Mm-hmm.
We actually went in there. Buzz and I did.
The sub place?
Yeah, they went and got some subs.
Good.
It was actually quite good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent.
140th Street. Yeah. We get to Ocean City, and we're waiting for Buzz and Marsha, and they call and they say, hi, it's Buzz. Hi, we're on the way.
Right.
Great. Fantastic. Did all the errands that I had to do. came back, and Buzz and Marsha showed up, and immediately it was like sides, because it was, we started the four of us talking, but then when Frida decided that she wanted to go to an antique shop, I just go along for the ride at this point, you know, because this is what I do. This is my half of being married, that I say, okay, I'd be glad to. Let's go. We get in the car and...
Were you guys sitting in the back?
No, it was Buzz and I up front.
Okay, so, you know, that's...
Girls in the back.
That's when you know it's over. Well, you see it in Florida. You're both of you are a million miles away from this. But it's that's when you know the man is ready to die. Well. When the men, and you see it all over Florida. Two women in the front, two men in the back, and it's so sad.
Well, it is simply,
it's really the time.
It doesn't feel like a million miles.
I do it with Rob and Carrie as well, simply because the chatter, if it's me and Frida in the front seat, or Buzz and Marsha, or Rob and Carrie in the back seat, invariably the conversation is going to be between, you know.
No, guy in the front seat, don't get me wrong. guy in the front seat is, that's kosher. I'm saying, it's usually guy. When you have couples, it's usually guy together. But when it moves guy from the front, it always has to be guy in the front seat. When it moves to guy in the back seat,
you're
close to death.
You might as well be driving around in a hearse.
Yeah, because they're gearing up for their last ride in the back.
Absolutely.
So, at one point, we're standing outside after being told, come on, we're going. Of course, Buzz and I are outside waiting. Buzz is trying to sneak one of his cigarettes. You know, and Buzz...
No, not really. I mean,
everybody
here knew.
The entire concept of that, though, is weird. That Marsha knows you have an occasional cigarette.
Right.
And don't get me wrong here, kids. Regular cigarettes, okay?
Yeah. Yes, regular ones.
More, I mean, and be honest with me, a little more recently.
A little more recently, that's true.
I noticed in New Orleans you were, you know, any free moment.
Yeah, I don't feel good about that, but it's true.
Right. And even when we were... at this antique store, after I bailed us out of this place, we're outside. Buzz was like standing outside smoking a cigarette, like in a corner. I said, Buzz, I'm sitting in the front seat of the car smoking a cigar. Come on, get your ass in here. And as soon as your wife walked up, you flicked the cigarette away.
I was finished.
And she said, or maybe Frida said, we saw that.
Yes, Frida did say
that. We saw that, Buzz. But we knew that the lines were drawn immediately when Friedman announced they wanted to go to this antique shop. And Buzz and I were waiting out front for them. And when they came down, it was really, I know it's this sound effect, but
right.
It was, I swear to God, it was, well, have you been to Nordstrom's? Well, Nordstrom doesn't have that. Well, you know, I found a really great one and they said the words Mary Kay.
That came up, yes.
And
how horrible.
I just looked at Buzz and I said, this is why they are where they are and why we are where we are.
And I said to Don, it's important that they talk to each other about these things, because if they don't, they're going to talk to us about them.
Yes. So we go to an antique store, which my wife loves, which to me really might as well be called Retard's Roadshow. You know Antique Roadshow?
Mm-hmm.
We go in this place, and it's... And Buzz... thank God Buzz was there to finally back me up on some of these things that I talk about. Walk in this place, and for instance, one of the items that you see as soon as you walk in, it's a lamp. But it's a lamp of a monkey. A monkey wearing a red jacket. And the monkey has his arms to the... He almost looks like one of the flying monkeys from the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And he's got a giant lampshade on his head. The thing is $260.
Wasn't it? I think it's $465.
You go a little further, and you see dogs. You see...
Lots of dogs.
Playing poker?
No, concrete dogs.
I saw a dog in a hat, like in an old-timey outfit, remember?
Oh, and they had a full-size dog, like a cutout of a dog.
Mm-hmm. You know, with my marital situation, I've always thought that I'm really the pathetic one of this group. But I'll tell you right now, I'm thinking about you two guys walking around there.
A dog
looking at dogs with a hat.
Hold on, Mike.
Jesus Christ. Throw you off a bridge.
Thank you.
A dog wearing a Napoleon outfit.
Yeah, that's it.
You guys have fun at the antique store.
In a twisted way.
We're in there, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes. And Frida's been in there 1,000 times.
They have beer on tap anywhere around there?
No. I know the place absolutely, like the back of my hand, and there's so many times. I brought Buzz around and said, okay, here's the frogs. Here's the part about PMS.
See, maybe that's the deal. Maybe if I knew a few antique stores like the back of my hand, I'd still be married today.
I said, here's the monkey part. You go out back, and they got the dog thing, uh-huh. and they got a thing where you can buy a tombstone for your dog. Uh-huh. If you're nutty like that, you know.
So is it like the lady that owns the place, the lady that would have a lot of cats around or something like that?
Yeah, she looks like one of those cat ladies.
The caters for that
clothes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So anyway, we're in there like 10 minutes, and I just said to Buzz, I can't.
Let's go.
I can't take. And they got mailboxes, not regular mailboxes, but mailboxes that are painted to look like roosters mm-hmm. and peacocks, mm-hmm. where they had actual big wings on the side of them.
How wonderful.
Yeah. You know, and I'm saying to Buzz, can you imagine you bought this, you put this in front of your house, you might as well put a sign out that says, hey, kids on Friday night driving around with a baseball bat.
Yes.
Please.
Right.
Please, take a swing at this.
Get me.
Mailbox call.
So we spent about 10 minutes in there, and then we got the hell out.
Yeah.
And I know your wife ended up winning over you. I don't know what the item was, if it was those metal seashells.
Yes, one of the metal seashells.
She wanted to buy them, mm-hmm. and Buzz said no. And she said, but I want them. I'm eavesdropping now. And Buzz says, but you don't need them.
It's more clutter, yeah.
Marcia, if you buy those metal seashells, you will be riding home in the trunk.
We have no place for them.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that Marcia bought them anyway. You know, just
now
like
in our Rita. House, yes.
Didn't really matter.
Marcia, did you buy the metal seashells?
So we went outside, and we had our moment. Again, Buzz and I had our moments.
Yes.
Oh, and I should tell you, this is a good time for the sex music. I did, in fact, see the tattoo of Marcia Burbank. It is above the waist. She did have to pull down her pants a little bit. So I could see her red, I believe, thong underwear.
Yeah, actually below the waist, kind of covered up by the underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Pull it down. Yeah.
No, you're right, Buzz. But anyway, she pulled out her pants in such a way.
What is it?
It is a rose.
Mm-hmm.
It is a.
Some say love.
tiny, and it was one of the first things when she came in.
Couldn't wait.
I said something like, "Well, I've heard all about the tattoo," and she jumped up and unbuckled her pants.
Showed you.
And I was like, "Whoa, wait, hold on," because from Buzz's description, mm-hmm. I was thinking it was. You know, like she'd have to be taking off her underpants.
Right down there by the, you know. Mm-hmm.
But as it turns out, your wife apparently is very neatly groomed because mm-hmm. it sure is close to.
Really?
Yeah.
To the spot.
Close to there.
Do you like it? Did you like the tattoo?
That's tiny. It's nice.
Detailed, like Buzz said?
Yeah, see, here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've been friends with Buzz and Marcia for over 20 years. Love them. But when she's standing right, and I was sitting and she's standing right in front of me.
Does she have that look that she has that, you know, I'm going to show you my tattoo?
She dropped her pants. It's simply bad manners for me to say, hey, she's about 2 feet away.
Right.
Hey, Marcia, would you mind moving a little closer?
Get a closer look.
So I can get a good look at that. You know, so I can just basically have my nose right by her.
You know, and Frida was in the room, so yeah, a little uncomfortable probably. But later, you rested. I don't want to race ahead in the story, but later you rested your head on that tattoo.
Well, that was after a night of. And that was after. All right, now, if we're going to go there.
Okay.
That was after I did something with your wife that you would not do.
Oh.
Yes, I know. And that's okay. Fine. You can go there if you like.
Well, we went to Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say.
I can't imagine. The reason I'm having trouble with this, I can't imagine anything Buzz wouldn't do.
Buzz was bombed at about 4:30.
Right.
I'll tell you about it in a minute. We had a bad movie experience.
Oh, my God.
Which is what I want to get to.
Yeah.
After the bad movie experience.
Oh, did you go to see Cody Banks, too?
After the bad movie experience, we came back home, and Buzz had, I think, two beers. And then maybe a couple martinis. All of this before dinner, like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Attaboy.
Hi. So, welcome to the beach.
So my man, he's gone.
Uh-huh.
He's gone. I had one vodka and tonic, and I said, I'm going to wait now. I switched right to Diet Vanilla Coke. Meanwhile, the rest of them, my wife, Buzz, Marcia, they're all getting loop-de-looped. By the time we headed over to Secrets for dinner, allegedly for dinner, which ended up just being drinks, and by the time they brought the food, no one was really eating.
Yeah.
Everybody's still drinking.
I just want nachos.
It was about that time that they wanted to go over to the disco part of Secrets. And for a while, it was just Buzz and I standing there. Now, my sister-in-law, Robbie, and her friend Sue Ann were there as well.
They joined
Sue Ann Niven?
So it was, yes. It was four women and Buzz and I. And for a while, the girls all danced with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Frida came over, and at one point, she'd been pounding them too. She said, and I believe this is the first, I'm the least drunk of everybody in the group, of all of them. She says, come on, you never dance with me. You gotta dance with me. So I take her out, and I dance with her. And we danced, like, I don't know, for 15 minutes.
Right.
And I got done, and I'm sweating like Mayor Barry. And I come back, and right away, Frida's working on Buzz.
That ought to be the standard line, too. Sweating like Mayor Barry.
Frida's working on Buzz. Buzz, your wife really wants to dance. Mm-hmm. And Buzz says, I look at these people. He says, they look goofy. I can't.
You're not you hate it, don't you?
Most of the time, I'm not real comfortable with it. I don't think I'm good at it, and I think I look like a dweeb when I try to do it.
And he was going through all of this. I can't do it. I can't. I feel a squeeze on my shoulder like the Incredible Hulk, and I realize that it's Frida giving me like the Mr. Spock thing on my shoulder.
Right.
And I hear,
dance with Marcia.
Being the obedient husband, I said, Marcia, would you like to dance? And she said, of course. So we went out and we danced.
I'm still holding up. I don't know if this is an attempt to make me feel guilty or jealous, but whatever it is, it isn't working.
Right, because Buzz is still standing.
I'm holding my ground.
Now,
right.
I'm out with Marcia, dancing with Marcia, longer than I'm out dancing with my wife.
What's your wife doing during this time?
Well, as it turns out, by the time I got back, when I finally said to Marcia, you know, listen, enough.
Right.
You know, I'm tired, I'm sweaty.
Right.
We've danced like 8 songs, enough.
I want to go home.
When I got back.
What was your genre of dancing? Was it slow dancing?
Well, it was disco.
Sway into the music.
There were no slow songs, it was disco, but I refused to dance with either Frida or Marcia. Without touching.
Touching.
So it was the thing where I had my arm around the waist and...
you disco ballroom.
Yeah, right. I get done with this and I'm ready.
Disco salsa.
I am absolutely ready. And the music was like, it was like Parliament.
Right.
You know, all the stuff that like Brothers Johnson.
Oh, great old funk.
Yeah.
Excellent. I love that stuff.
So I get done with this and I'm ready to come back and just cut Buzz one wide open, because it's like, man, not only did I dance with my wife, I danced with your wife for 20 minutes. I get back there, and I said to my sister-in-law, Robin, I go, hey, where's Buzz? She says, he's out dancing with Frida. So Frida put the screws to you.
She did. She put the same Spock hand lock on my shoulder, as a matter of fact.
And we ended up leaving Secrets.
You know, it's dancing, dinner dancing.
Mm-hmm.
The switch has occurred.
Well, now, you know, we came.
The swap happened.
Mm-hmm.
The only time that we came close was at one point, I was out on the balcony when we got back home. Mm-hmm. When we were waiting for my sister-in-law, coincidentally, we found out the next day, never made it over to our place, because when we left Secrets at about 11:30, we said, we'll see you back at our place.
Right.
Apparently, they're going to get pissed, but too bad. Because nothing happened. It was innocent.
Right, right.
Robbie and Sue Ann met some sailors.
Oh.
Who were about to be married. And apparently the
sailors like, the destroyer parked off Ocean City or something like that?
I don't know.
Were they in their uniforms and stuff?
That I don't know either. I wasn't there.
Were they kind of sailors that, you know, you find in the deep town?
I just heard that they were sailors.
Uh-huh. Hey, sailor.
And that they were getting married,
uh-huh,
and they wanted to kiss as many women as they could before they got married.
There you go.
So that's what I heard on Sunday morning when we said to Robin, well, how come he didn't come back?
Did they say where they wanted to kiss them?
Below the well. Below the waist.
Below the tattoo line.
Below the belt.
The good thing about that is there's no way that's a pickup line.
No,
because they're both getting married.
We're both getting married. We want to kiss as many girls as we can. Parliament.
So anyway, we're back in our apartment,
right,
and we're waiting now for Robin and Sue Ann, and I'm out on the balcony, and Buzz is in a chair.
Are you smoking a cigar?
Of course. Marcia is sitting on the couch, she has the TV on,
mm-hmm,
and Frida is laying on the couch, and she has her head in Marcia's lap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? While they're watching TV.
See, every single time you guys get together, there is always something like this, mm-hmm, between your wife and Buzz's wife.
But then Frida gets up to move her bowels or something. She says, whenever.
Well, here I was enjoying the moment, and now you have to.
I don't think she's having a nice day, but Frida gets up for a second, and as soon as she gets up, Marcia says, well, aren't you going to take your wife's spot?
Wow.
Buzz is sitting, yeah, you know, 5 feet away.
So she wants you to sit down and
lay down. She's sitting on the couch.
Oh, she wants you to lay down and put your head in her crotch.
Yeah, which I did.
Which you did.
And Frida then came out.
You were sleepy though, right?
Oh yeah. Very, very, very
sleepy. Not like you kept your head. Did you put your face into the pillow?
I did no such thing.
Oh, yeah, I just curious.
I was uptight because I'm laying on the couch.
And you're the soberest one.
With my head in his wife's lap, and he's sitting like 2 feet away.
Yeah.
And I know him, you know, Joe Swinger. And I'm thinking,
he's looking on approvingly.
Far be it from me to interfere.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, looking on approvingly, really. In a way, it's like, you know, hey, please the boss.
Step two.
You know, but, right now, as I watch.
Frida came back in, and then I immediately jumped up and said,
oh, yes, dear.
And assumed the position. You know, and right away, tears were screwing me.
Did you do that crazy thing where you move your scalp?
I got so defensive. I got up, and I said, oh, hey, Frida, Marcia asked me to lay down on the couch. Frida didn't care.
No.
But I overreacted. I said, really, I was just out there.
Sounds like there's only one person in this foursome that's uptight.
You're looking at him.
Sex.
So, oh, you want that? Before we tell you the good stuff about the movie, I'll just tell you one other Buzz moment.
Yeah.
Thank you for this, Buzz.
You're welcome.
We're up very late on Saturday night. We're up way past midnight. 6:41 a.m. Sunday morning is when we woke up because Buzz had to get a cigarette and or whatever you were doing,
yeah,
and went to his car and opened the door and to our place and hit the alarm. Now the alarm that we have is not like the alarm that most houses have.
You got the nicotine going on, buddy.
The alarm is, and I requested it,
mm-hmm,
when we bought this new place in Ocean City. It's the same alarm that Leah Remini has in her house. And it says, at an incredible volume, while you're hearing...
Intruder! Intruder! Leave immediately! Leave immediately! Intruder! Intruder!
Oh, my God.
And it says that, like... The police have been called. Intruder, break in, break in. Intruder, leave immediately.
Good morning.
Frida and I jump out of bed. I go, what the F is this? She says, Buzz must have opened the door. And while she's going downstairs, the phone's ringing. Because, you know, it's the alarm company.
The alarm company. Yeah.
Why don't I know what's going on? It was just Buzz.
Good morning.
So you left, what do you leave it on, like... Just on guard when
you
sleep?
I didn't even go out the main door. I went out a balcony door on the second floor, and you can't even go out a balcony door on the second floor without the alarm going off.
Well, Mike, part of that gets back to having an 18-year-old son.
Yeah.
That we have the alarm set up.
Right.
So that, well, first off, we don't want anybody to break in.
Of course.
Sure. But you don't want anybody to break out either.
With Bart, I mean, you crack a window, and we got that thing turned on.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
And
that's good. I'm listening.
And Buzz,
I like that.
Buzz, you did it perfect. The voice, do it.
Intruder. Intruder. Leave immediately. The police have been called. Intruder. Intruder.
Well, I can just see you.
Oh.
I can just see you just being as quiet as a human being can be.
Embarrassed, humble, apologetic, and good morning.
Oh, my.
And then we were up. Okay, we got a break. The best part's coming up. Stay right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bob Crane enjoyed the Hollywood nightlife and soon found new ways to blend his Playboy lifestyle with his passion for cameras. The star began to videotape sexual encounters. As co-star Werner Klemperer recalls,
I don't know whether you'd call them pornographic, but they were erotic films of sex acts that he enjoyed filming.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, thank you, but that information is absolutely useless.
Come and enjoy their world-famous love act. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Hello there, Don and Mike. Hello?
Don.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a question for Buzz. Buzz, doesn't it bother you that the potential of another man doing your wife?
Well, I guess it would depend on the circumstance. That was something, you know, we experimented with years ago. It's not a lifestyle.
I know, and I knew that Don wouldn't do it in the first place, but I mean, just the thought of that would kind of bother me, I guess.
Buzz is very open-minded, and Martian is very open-minded.
I guess to be brutal, it depends on what I get out of the deal.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
You bet.
Ladies and gentlemen, more honest words have never been uttered.
Depends what I get out of the deal. Yeah. Let me call the other half of that deal.
Because really, when last we checked in with you crazy kids, it was starting to get a little heated.
That ended.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess when last we checked in, Buzz was trying to escape.
Hi, baby.
Hi, CP.
Hi, baby. I'm just getting up to the movie part now, and please don't give it away yet. Because in order to keep the show on time, we're going to do a little short break here and then really tell you what happened. But it's the movie story of all movie stories.
Mm-hmm.
The mother of all movie stories is coming up, and I have witnesses.
Yes.
And again, when we went to the movie,
I'll have you know I'm a hostile witness, though. But go ahead.
No. I don't even want your testimony.
All right.
I just want you to say that what happened is true.
Oh, all right.
That's all. And I'm going to tell it exactly as it was. And you know, Buzz is going to be.
I'm here.
Right here. And the way we sat in the movies.
Was you reclining in Marsh's lap?
No, it was weird because as we walked down the aisle, we went to see Anger Management, like everybody in America did this weekend.
Please, I'm going to see it Tuesday. Please.
Don't.
Please don't say anything about it or don't give any plot away.
Don't go.
Oh, no, that bad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's getting into the story. But no matter what happened in the theater.
You know, I'm happy.
Let me just tell you this. No matter what happened in the theater, we ended up leaving. But despite the events in the theater,
it's just horrible.
We would have walked out anyway.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay.
And
I was ready to stay.
We only.
Well, now you just told me it's
Mike, don't go.
It's horrible.
All right, good.
But you would have stayed.
I would have said because it was a rainy Saturday afternoon at the beach, I had nothing better to do.
Yeah. Right. So, anyway, the only reason Buzz and I, there was a major incident that I'll tell you about. The only reason that we stayed as long as we stayed was,
No.
I was thinking, and I was talking to Buzz after the movie, he was thinking too, do we hate this movie just because of the confrontation we've had?
No.
And once the confrontation happened and things quieted down, and I'll tell you about it, because it's the best movie story ever.
Yep.
We realized, no, the movie really does suck ass.
Yeah, it does.
It really...
A big disappointment.
Are we calling the communications trailer at your house, or what's going on in the background?
Honey, what's the noise there?
What noise? I don't even hear anything.
The background. Would you have TV on?
No.
Her voices.
I don't... The voices? Could it be Bart? Oh, it's Bart talking to his friend. You want me to go in another room?
Oh, no, that's all right.
We have people in our house. Is that all right with you? Other beings live in.
We heard something sounded like TV or something.
I thought it was the TV.
Well, that's Bart. He's got that broadcaster's voice. Mm-hmm. It's in his jeans.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Rob, yeah.
No, that's Bart, Rob. What did you think it was?
It might have been the traffic coming in. Was it?
No,
been that?
No, it's just my kid on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could hear him. No, hey.
Yeah, did it sound like Evan Marriott in the background?
Yeah, a little.
She's got a rockin' body.
Remember, not a rocket body.
That's right.
A rockin' body. Owen.
Body.
Listen, let me get off topic here for a second. I don't know if you've seen the promos. They're promoting it the same way as Joe Millionaire. The Mr. Perfect or whatever it is, with the 20 guys wearing masks.
Yeah, I saw the
personality. And a Mr. Personality.
She kisses one of them.
And a couple of them are going to be real ugly guys.
Right.
The thing that loses me at the very end is, because it's set up just like Joe Millionaire. You know, one beautiful woman, 20 guys, all of them hidden by masks. Hosted by Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, boo! Oh, no, well, F it then. Well, F them for... God! Although I didn't see that in the pro... Oh, F that.
Although I think Monica Lewinsky's role will be what the role of the woman was on Joe Millionaire.
I bet it's more. Yeah, of course it's more.
It's Monica. It'll have to be more.
It's more.
Hosted by Monica Lewinsky.
I'm boycotting it. It's official. I will not watch any episode of it.
Maybe outside of the movie incident... And I'll tell you, Frida has been pissed at me in the movies before, and I think Wright was on my side.
Oh, you're lucky Buzz and Marcia were with us, because I had to keep a lid on it. You know, you can't really express yourself like you'd like to in front of others.
And what's funny, and you'll hear this in a moment, it was so ironic, this happened in the movie Anger Management.
That's
Anger
a little thief.
Yeah. But when we were leaving the theater, approximately, it seemed like an hour, but maybe...
Half hour into the movie.
As we were walking outside, I mean, Frida was pissed at me like she's not been pissed at me. I mean...
Oh, it was...
Seriously.
Believe me, I had to punch it down. I've probably took 3 years off my life. Oh. I probably have got an ulcer brewing from my just letting it go.
Just let it go, even though I was right, and you knew I was right.
No, I don't think I ever remember saying you're right.
No, I believe you said,
you guys are killing me because I want to know what happened.
I never
you're killing
said,
me here.
Or if I implied that you were right, that was an error.
You said I was right, that I handled it wrong.
But then right about what happened.
Then how does that make you right if you've handled it wrong?
But you said...
That's like saying O.J. was right.
Well, she wouldn't listen, honey.
It wrong.
The gist of...
What?
The gist, G-I-S-T, the core, as opposed to J-I-Z-Z.
Right, I know.
The core of the argument was correct.
Fine.
The reason for it all.
Fundamentally, the reason I went to war...
Indubitably.
Was validated.
I don't think war was the option.
what would your option have been?
Have you ever just tried to move?
See, that's, you know, here's the thing, honey. We were there before.
We didn't buy those seats, darling.
We were there before they were.
they came into our space.
And we were already three rows from the front. Because the theater was so goddamn crowded. But listen, other than that, and it took me like 2 hours to rebound from this, because Frida was so mad at me,
right,
about this incident in the movies. Other than that, though, how would you rate the weekend?
Oh, I had a great weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care about Buzz and Marsha. I mean, I care, but, you know, they're wonderful and they're great to be with.
Well, then. Part of the reason I had a great weekend.
But hey, come on, Mr. Social. Danced with you, danced with Marcia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking for some of that credit coming my way.
I know, but, you know, it takes away because I heard you say to Buzz, that's money in the bank after you've danced with me. Yes, not you. I could find some sailor to dance with me.
Oh, my God. You
obnoxious.
I swear to God, I didn't know
you
heard that.
You're killing me. that's the kind of comment you can't let
you
me overhear.
Your account is so overdrawn. you can't even open an account. Passbook savings.
Oh, God. Money in the bank.
I didn't know you heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, how about that buzzing the alarm, huh?
Oh, nice to flex.
Oh, man.
How about that, Buzz? Well, they're very nice house guests. And, Buzz, I don't know if your wife mentioned this to you. Buzz and Marcia were nice enough to stay in our guest room. Mm-hmm. Nice enough to do the laundry, to do the sheets.
Yeah.
And
we had to.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
No, I
don't think you are kidding.
Just a joke.
I noticed.
I don't think it is. I've heard good reports about you. I doubt very seriously if that's a joke.
I noticed.
Really?
I noticed when Buzz's wife.
Well, hold on. Let's ask him.
Ask me what?
Did you do the nasty in Don and Frieda's house?
I don't want to say because then they'll never have us back.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, the room's been violated before. Rob's been there with Carrie, for God's sakes.
Well, what does that mean?
That doesn't mean anything.
That means
that means
nothing.
That means there might have been beer spilled in that bed.
Blood's a harder stain to get.
Oh God, Rob. Oh.
Listen, I don't care, Buzz. Did you bang your wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you did the sheets.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we did
so
a bunch of laundry.
Here's the thing, though. I noticed this.
You see a bunch of laundry.
Well, I mean, there were other items, you know.
Well, no. Here's
you wouldn't wash towels and stuff like that.
Sure. They wash the towels. Here's the thing.
Oh, thanks, sir. Way to raise the bar.
When I get up on Sunday morning,
yeah.
Marcia's folding towels, right? Mm-hmm. I said, hey, you guys didn't have to do laundry with your sheets. And she said, no. This is, you know, we want to be nice guests. She said, oh, and here's a pair of your underpants.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Now, thank God.
What, was there something like that hadn't been fished out of the washer?
No. I guess they were in a hamper. You know, thank God.
Okay, hold on a second. What the hell really went on down there?
Thank God they were one of the pairs that, you know, were not old.
Right. But it was my old underpants in that pile, not any of my cute ones.
Where
my underpants were there, too.
Okay, how did the Burbanks get to go through your underwear?
I don't know how they ended up
in
the laundry with everything else, you know?
But the laundry is upstairs.
And you expect me, with a broadcast journalism degree, to believe that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But the laundry was upstairs in our bedroom.
I think Frieda actually started the laundry, and I think Marcia just took it over from there.
I think it was...
You can say that again.
Yeah.
All right.
Gotcha. All right, baby. Love you.
All right. I love you still, too. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hello there. Don and Mike.
Hi, Don. This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys, get to the story, man. There's nothing worse than being on the outside of an inside joke.
Amen, pal.
Okay.
I want to hear what happened in that theater.
Hey. Excuse me for running a radio show that gets people to listen a little
longer. Oh, man. It's like just like stretching the thing out. I'm stretching out. I'm like,
no, actually,
a story.
Listen.
Oh, you know what he's going to do now. You know what he's going to do now to us.
Of course.
He's going to sit here. He's going to make us wait now. You know, because of you, because of your call, because he's going to wait. He's going to wait like
no.
breaks now.
No, this was just a short
You know what
break?
We're going to find out about this? 5 and 7.
No. Right after this commercial, swear on my kid's life.
All right, thanks. All right,
this was a short break, so the next break could be a long break.
Okay.
I'll tell you about my worst movie experience ever.
Never mind.
Bar none. Bar none. And this time, I got a witness who will back me up 1,000 effing percent.
Absolutely. Even though you're right, your wife says you were wrong.
Now, listen, she thinks I was wrong in the way I handled it.
Right.
She
I'm
thinks.
Just trying to tweak it up a little
I know.
Bit.
She thinks I should have turned the other cheek.
Never.
But we all agree on what happened that started it all.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two f***ing balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 f***ing grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
The indubitable brutality... the indubitable brutality.
America's most happening hate mongers, the Don and Mike Show.
Here is Joe Rockhead on MSNBC.
The indubitable brutality.
Friday night working the word indubitably into his broadcast. Okay, so we go to see the movie Anger Management. Now, when Mike and I were reviewing the movies that we hadn't seen on Friday, I said, I think it'll be a smash, sell tons of tickets, but I just didn't think it would be funny. Now, as it turns out, at least from my opinion, I was right about that part. Mike, go see it for yourself and decide, but Adam...
I really don't... If you... Regardless of what happened, if for you to walk out of a movie, you don't do that very often.
No, and I like...
In fact, you don't do it nearly as much as I do.
I like both guys, and I really like Adam Sandler.
Right.
But it's not Adam Sandler that screams. It's Jack Nicholson that screams in Anger Management.
All right.
But nonetheless, the options were we would either go shopping
right,
or go to the movies.
Sure.
And we looked at the movie list, and we decided, hey, Anger Management, $2.45.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Perfect.
Feeling good. We get to the theater. Buzz was nice to pick up the overpriced tickets. we waited with the incredibly dull, dim-witted guys behind the counter to pay, of course, the awful prices for the soda, and Buzz wanted some popcorn.
Right.
Finally, we get down there. It's theater's already pretty crowded. We're like five rows from the front. And as we walk down, the four of us, I said, all I require is the aisle seat. So Frida said, well, I guess I'll go in first. And as it turns out, for the purposes of this story, this was the best possible seating arrangement. Because going left to right, it was me, Buzz, Marcia, Frida. This is important, because if Frida had been sitting next to me,
yeah,
this story may not have happened the way you're going to hear it.
Okay.
The people that were sitting behind us, and Rob, oh, he's not in the room. I'll tell him the surprise when he comes in the room.
Give the police.
I have a surprise for you.
Do you?
Yeah, but I'll get to it.
And yet I have nothing for you.
Don't worry. Your reaction will be my greatest...
Oh, okay.
My greatest joy.
Good.
So we're in there, and they start the thing with the exit signs and the dancing goobers and everything, and the ads start, and we get our first indication of the stupidity of the people behind us when they run the ad. I don't know if you've seen it yet on TV or in the theaters for Daddy Daycare, starring Eddie Murphy.
No, I haven't seen it.
Dumb. Looks just dumb. But the people behind us are laughing, and the woman, while Eddie Murphy at one point picks up a stinky diaper, she says, "Oh my God!" Now, Buzz, that's the exact level.
That's how it started.
Please back me up on this.
100%. That's exactly what happened,
I
swear.
So already, I'm giving Buzz the hairy eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
Then the ad comes on for The Matrix,
okay,
which looks great. And again, the woman behind us says... And I swear I'm not making this up.
Full voice.
Look at those bullets. This is for The Matrix. Now, she's not saying this in a quiet voice. She's saying this in a loud voice.
A loud, idiot voice.
Right. And so loud that even in the trailer for The Matrix, where Keanu Reeves is doing that thing where he's bending over backwards and the bullets are going by him. And
yeah, a technique now used all over Hollywood.
And he's karate chopping. My point is, loud.
Yeah.
It's loud. Mm-hmm. You still hear this woman go, wow! Oh my God! Look at all the guys he's kicking! And all the people in the row are talking with her.
Right.
And I've already given Buzz the look.
Yeah. You estimate the number in the group that are behind you?
Five.
Five.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems to be. And that lady was right behind me, so I heard that very clearly.
Now, we gave each other a look. Buzz and I did.
Now, the rule is trailers don't count.
It's okay.
You can do whatever you want during the trailer.
But it was just a hint of what was to come
in the theater that day.
And really the rule is, you know, once it says directed by, well, then you shut up.
I'll go further than that. I think when the credits are rolling, if there's some plot line underneath, I like now, silence with the credits, even right. when the credits start. When the feature starts, you ought to shut your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me also say, so you just don't think that I'm a prick that this always makes this stuff up. There were kids that were sitting in front of us that were doing stuff like drinking their sodas and burping. Burping were loud and laughing. I had no problem with that. The movie is supposed to be a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was, but like at Old School, when I went to see Old School, everybody in the theater was cracking up all the time. There's a difference between cracking up
and laughing
and talking as if you're watching television.
Right.
So, we get past all the credits, of which this woman has run her mouth during the entire time, very loudly. The movie starts. The first thing she says, because it's a scene of Adam Sandler when he was a little kid in the Bronx. She says, "That's New York City." I swear to God, she said it very loudly.
Well,
and then, 30 seconds later, when it says on the bottom of the screen, "The Bronx, 1974," she says, "See, the Bronx, that's New York." And in the very first scene, I'm not going to give away this movie, when Adam Sandler is de-pantsed at a young age, which, you know, screws him up psychologically, that was the first time during the movie that she went, "Oh my God." Now, moving on, the woman who was on the TV show The District, who just died, she was also on Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. She's on screen. Well, this woman says, while Adam Sandler's in a courtroom scene, "She's dead. She just died." Now, Buzz, you'll please back me up.
Absolutely
that I am not
true. And
I am,
that was the volume. Those were the exact words.
I am not exaggerating. Adam Sandler is in a scene with his boss. She says, "That's my boss. That's my boss."
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Now, I counted before I finally said something. 28 times. "Oh, my God. Oh, my God." Every time anything would happen. "Oh, my God." And I'm not even counting the stuff like where she would say, "They're watching a movie." At one point, Jack Nicholson is watching a movie on an airplane.
Right.
She says, "Look, they're watching a movie." "Oh, my God."
Yeah.
"Oh, my God."
Every time something happened, it was, "Oh, my God."
So I counted 21 times.
Right.
During the movie, "Oh, my God." Finally, I'm thinking to myself, I'm in a movie called Anger Management.
You're thinking about managing your own now.
And I'm thinking, how do I do this? Because Buzz and I have both already turned around and flat out looked at her.
Oh, we've given him the look four or five times now. It's
now, Rob, here's
you. Have you done a shh or anything like that?
No.
Not yet.
But, Rob, here's where you'll be interested.
Yeah?
Interracial couple.
Mm.
And now I know that it's, you know, part of the black culture to talk out loud in the movies. I get that.
Not necessarily.
Well, a lot of theaters I go to it is. And I'm down with that. But here's the wacky part. The husband, who was black, was not saying anything.
No.
The wife, celebrity she most resembles, Flo from the TV show Atlas.
Television's Polly Holiday.
So the only person talking in this group is the woman.
Yeah, wife, yeah.
The wife.
Whatever.
And she's getting some muted responses from her husband and from the people two or three rows down, like when she says, "That's my boss." You know, one of them, you hear, "Sure is." Well, the 21st time that she says, "Oh, my God." And Buzz and I have already looked at her.
Yeah.
Right.
I turned around during a quiet moment and I said, "Guys, this is going to sound funny. We're in a movie called Anger Management, yet I'm getting very angry because you keep talking during the entire movie." And at this point, the husband says,
We're just enjoying ourselves during a comedy.
And I said, still hadn't lost it. I said, okay, there's laughing and there's talking out loud. And now I'm speaking as loud as she is.
Yeah.
So everybody sitting around us can hear. I said, we all heard you say that that guy was like your boss. We all heard you say that's New York City. We've all heard you say, oh my God, 21 times. We all heard you say that that judge is dead. And the guy says, will you shut up and turn down? Turn around. You're the one who's ruining the movie for everybody else.
Oh my God.
Now, I'm looking around in the theater for some support, and I'm getting none. Even though this lady, and Buzz, please tell them the volume so that they know I'm not making this up.
Totally out loud. Your loudest indoor voice, I guess. You know, it was
powerful.
Oh my God.
Buzz next to you, did you feel like, you know.
Finally!
That you're going to just.
Witness. Right. That loud. Oh my God.
And
every time something happened.
And like I say. I was wondering, am I hating this movie because this woman has a constant dialogue going? So,
I wondered,
here's the second part. After I turn around and we have this exchange, at one point, I'm so mad, I say to the guy, I don't know how to explain this to you, but your wife has talked during the entire movie. She's talking to the screen. But it's a comedy. I said, in a theater, in a comedy, people laugh. Your wife has been talking. I would like to talk with you about this, but not here. If you'd like to step outside, I'll discuss it with you outside. Now, the guy said, what the F are you talking about? You want to effing fight? And I said, no, I don't want to fight. But I'd like to discuss with you the fact that you are
what is the wife doing during it? Is she saying anything?
No, she's just sitting there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. At one point, she threw in an oh, my God, yeah. I'm arguing with her husband.
Right.
Oh, just to bust
well,
your
no,
job?
No, it's...
Because that's her reaction to everything.
It's an oh, my God, because this is happening in the theater.
Wow.
That I'm... So I say to the husband, hey, pal, I don't want to fight you. I just don't want to have this discussion.
Is anybody else saying, hey, quiet,
no,
you guys?
No. So...
But other people are starting to turn around and look now.
So, once this happens, and we have the initial skirmish, he says, let's all just enjoy the movie. I said, great. And that means no talking. And I turn back around, and at this point, I'm thinking, now, do I hate this movie because these people,
right,
this woman, has been screaming and talking during the whole movie, or do I hate it because it's not funny? It was at this point that she went to this tactic, when she went to get her popcorn.
Not an exaggeration. I swear to God, she did it on purpose. Well...
And you know she just happened with me.
Right, right.
She just happened with me.
Clearly.
So, I haven't lost it yet. And for about 10 minutes, they were shamed into being quiet.
Yes. Then, the movie didn't get any better in those 10 minutes.
Then something outrageous happened.
Woo!
You know, Jack Nicholson screamed.
Right.
And she went, oh my God. But she said it quietly. So I didn't turn around saying it.
Oh my God.
Then, as she got momentum back, it started again.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Every time.
Do you believe that? Oh my God.
She can't control herself.
Cannot. Do you think she's at home watching TV?
Or she's working you.
No. She's too stupid.
She'd already established that this is her pattern, you know, regardless of what's happening.
Oh, my God. So I turned to Buzz, and I said, because Buzz has already asked me if I want to leave.
Yeah, I was the first to suggest it.
Leave because the movie sucked, or leave because it was so horrible with that woman.
Because
there.
The movie was bad. Even after the 10 minutes of relative quiet from these clowns behind us, like I said, the movie didn't get any better, and I turned it on, and I said,
I love Adam Sandler, and I know a lot of you guys are going to call and say you like the movie. I like him when he's mad like in Happy Gilmore.
Is there a chance that this woman did ruin the movie for you.
No. Because I would have stayed.
No, the actors, it was a badly written movie, and here are two great guys, Nicholson and Sandler, neither one of which are living up to their potential because they have nothing to work with.
The movie's so dumb, so unbelievable. And I mean, Mike, listen to this. Bobby Knight is in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Right.
And I still hated it.
Really?
Bobby Knight's part was awful.
Bad. So it had tremendous potential, and they just punted it.
Never got off the ground.
Anyway, but that's not the point. Now, 10 minutes after the first skirmish, and then the noise with the rappers, then she starts with the, oh my God.
Again.
Have you, look what he's doing. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Now she's doing it again.
Right.
And Mike, I swear on my kid's life, this is the volume. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
I turn to Buzz and I say, ask Frida for the keys to the car. You and I can leave now. So he leans over to Marcia, and then from three seats down, I see Frida give me the sign where she says, "Won't go?" And I said, "Oh yeah." Now Frida wants to leave because I've had the gall to tell these people to shut up.
Right.
Even though I thought I did it, I started off. I swear to God, I turned around and went, you're going to think this is funny.
Yeah, that's exactly how
it started. We're in a movie called Anger Management.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
But really. So, as we get up to walk out, I'm going to let it go. And she says, goodbye. I lean over to the husband and I go, do you listen to radio? He says, yeah. I say, listen to 96 Rock on Monday. He goes, why? I said, because I'm going to be talking about you. Now, I'm just whispering this into his ear.
Right.
He says, as loud as her, I'll give an F what you say. F you. And then she says, now by this point, Buzz, Frida, and Marcia are all at the exit.
We're at the door at the back of the theater.
I'm still leaning over talking. At this point, she turns to me and she says, you're the one that needs this movie, you need the anger management. And I said, that's, I'm out. Goodbye.
You're not going to win.
But as I was walking away, in my loudest voice, yep, I said, oh my God! And at this point, Frida's already left the theater.
Oh no.
And as I was backing out of the theater, two more times I went, oh my God! Oh my! And I mean, I was really doing it with the oh my God! It's New York. She's dead. That's just like my boss. Oh my God!
Where were the ushers when all this was going on?
Oh, what ushers?
These are the same dullards that couldn't figure out how to get the Coke and the popcorn.
So, how do you like the movie?
We get outside the theater, and I mean, it is Blizzard City. When I'm telling you, the cold shoulder from my wife,
right?
She says, that's the worst you have ever been in any theater.
It's a deep freeze.
Now, Buzz, you can back me up. I tried to put my arm around her. She said,
she does this.
She does it. Don't touch
waves
me.
Them off, yeah.
Get away from me.
Do you know, I do equate it with the same thing as when you do that on the road, because you never know what people are capable of.
Well, Mike, here's the thing.
You never really know what people are capable of, especially in a dark theater. Mm. You never know whether, you know, that person might, you might be awakening a psycho.
So what are you supposed to do? Sit there and take it? And really,
this was a debate we all had.
And really, to move seats would not have been feasible because I swear to God, woman was speaking so loudly.
What you do is not what you did. What you do is you turn around and you say, would you mind not talking during the movie, please?
Mm-hmm.
Because any time you get them into any kind of a debate, you get those people that are that stupid, or you challenge them, it's going
to ruin. I guarantee he would have said to you, we just enjoying the movie.
Yeah, they didn't get it. They didn't get the difference between laughing and talking.
There's, I mean, you know, I'm not telling you how to do what you did. It's just, I have turned around and said to people, and they usually don't get it.
I'm telling you.
But they don't get it.
Buzz, please,
if you're in front of talkers.
Please back me up. This woman wasn't a talker. This woman was close to being a screamer.
But they're not going to, they're not going to change. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
It's luck of the draw.
I lost it. And on the way out of the theater.
I'll tell you, if somebody was doing what you were doing in the theater, I'll tell you, if I was sitting in the theater and I could hear the person, I would back you up in that
nobody
situation.
Did. And that's another thing.
Nobody does, because people...
That's another thing I said on the way out.
Idiots.
As I was backing out of the theater, I said, and thank you all for your support, because you all heard her say, oh my God!
They had to have. She was that loud. They had to have heard her.
So we got outside.
Did anybody else yell at you when you said that?
No. Yeah. We got outside, and Frida said, do not even talk to me. I said... But honey,
killing me.
I said, my original process with them was humorous. I turned around and I said, you're not going to be this kind of funny.
You know what somebody else would say? Somebody else would say, get up, go outside, get one of the pimply-faced interns or ushers to come in and say, there's somebody. I mean, they're... In most theaters, they run the thing, no talking. It's a rule,
you know,
right? For the movie.
I'm sorry, I pay $7.75. I don't want to get some guy who still has pimples on his balls to come down and tell some idiot it's not a TV, it's a movie screen.
I don't want to walk out of the theater and miss plot development because I did pay to see it. I don't want to be, you know, out there 10 minutes looking for an usher.
Did Buzz say anything?
No.
He was...
I came close. I kept waiting for her to say more than 3 or 4 words at a time. Or by the time it got to the point where it was apparent she was doing it repeatedly and I was ready to do it, Don was already, you know, handling the situation.
Now, you know, I think that really with people that talk in theaters, there's nothing that's going to change.
But on the way out, I gave them the whole, oh my God! Oh my God! He's like my boss! And I turned around and I just put it in everybody's ear and I said, you all heard it. You all heard it. And the last thing I said, I thought this was Michael Moore. Shame on you. Shame on you. And we walked out. And
that had to feel pretty good.
Until I got outside.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. Everybody wants to talk about this. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I've had it up to here with the likes of you people.
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Under the direction of Andrew Blake, it's the Don and Mike Show.
And, tomorrow, as you know, is tax day.
We'll have something special for you tomorrow. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We'll celebrate that day. And also tomorrow... the mother chucker. We finally get him after the movie has already been out, the book's been out. Chuck Barris.
Find out if he got his taxes in on time.
Tomorrow on the show. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Gentle persons, hello.
Hello, gentle person. Oh, and Wednesday, we're giving away a vacation to Miami and South Beach, courtesy of Ultimate Fighting Championships Sudden Impact, April 25. On pay-per-view.
Just about one of my favorite places in the whole wide world.
You get to go down to Miami and you get to go to the VIP meet and greet for the UFC Sudden Impact April
25. Wow.
We will give that away on Wednesday.
Now, Rob, why are you giving that thumbs up? Do you want to go?
No, but can you imagine the VIP meet and greet?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, two quick questions for you, Don.
Yeah.
If it had come to it, and I know, you know, you probably would have never let it go that far, but would you have been able to take the guy... If he had gotten,
yes, and here's why I wouldn't have. I was just telling Mike, the celebrity the guy most resembles is Chief Z.
So he's a slightly elderly gentleman.
You know the guy who dresses up in the Indian suit at Redskins games?
Yes, the old man.
He also looked, I can't decide if he looked more like Chief Z or like the guy who dresses up in the Cowboys uniform.
Well, I always thought that Chief Z... And the Cowboys guys look to be about the same age.
But either way, he was an older guy. He was pushing 60.
And she wasn't young either. She looked like Flo.
No, she was definitely in her 50s.
I gotcha. And the other question would be, if it had come to that, How much help would Buzz have been, what with his Monty Burns, old man, frail-like body?
he would have been no help, but really, I've never been in a fight with anybody. All I said to the guy when I said, do you want to go outside, he said...
You know, the very fact that you said it like that to him shows that you have never been in a fight, because you would have found other words to say.
He said, you want to effing fight? And I said, no, I just want to tell you outside so we don't have a discussion in the theater what a big mouth your wife is.
And I've never fought either, but I would have backed you up.
And when we got outside, Jesus, Frida was so pissed at me. I was doing that thing. Oh, baby, come on. What are you mad about? She said, that's the worst ever. I said, those people were talking so loudly. She said, all you had to do was get up and leave. Why did you have to engage them?
They just cheated us. It's not fair.
I said, but when I started, I even did it funnily. I said, hey, this is ironic.
Right.
The movie's anger management, but I'm angry at you for talking.
This movie's anger management, and I'm ready to kill you.
I was.
I'll kill you.
The worst talking I've ever experienced in a theater.
He brings it, 20 years I've known him talking about movies, and your rate is like 70. No, it's more than that. It's like 90%.
This one was off the scale.
But you have had, you hear people in theaters, and this one, but I mean, how many out of, like, if you go to 10 movies,
a lot,
how many times do you
think
you're going
to talk? 8 out of 10 people are talking. But this woman was off the charts.
You know what I think it is? And I wonder sometimes, because it has happened to me much less frequently than it happens to you. You like to go to movies, first run movies.
Yeah.
You like to go the first weekend they're out.
Yep.
You like to go, in many cases, the first night they're out.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you get the real idiot factors when they come
out. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
I'm a proud, fat, Irish Catholic.
Attaboy.
And I'm from, I live in Ocean City during the summer. I was just wondering which theater you guys are talking about.
Gold Coast.
Okay. The guys that work there are real douchebags.
Yeah, and the guys behind the counter, they got us in the perfect mood. You pay the exorbitant ticket price, then you get inside and there are two guys behind the counter. This is true of any movie theater, really.
Pretty much.
There are two guys behind the counter. One guy, the fat guy has decided his only job is going to be to fill drinks. The other guy has the poor job of taking the order, getting the candy, making change, and he was not very good at making change.
Mouth open.
So, like, I would say, large diet Pepsi. The fat guy would say, large Pepsi? I said, no, large diet Pepsi. He would do his job in 30 seconds and then hold my Diet Pepsi hostage while the other guy slowly tried to find it on his
keyboard. Yeah, you can't drink it while he's finding it on the keyboard.
So he finds it, and he looks like real proudly at me when he goes, 325. I give him a 5, and boy, he's stumped now. Even though it says, $1.75 back, it gives him the answer.
Right.
But he's stumped as to how to get, is it $1? So what I end up getting is $1, 7 dimes, and a nickel. Now, after me is Buzz. Buzz wants a medium Pepsi.
Right.
And a small popcorn.
And a pack of Luckies.
They
didn't have it.
It takes the guy working the soda machine, again, 30 seconds. He's got the medium Pepsi sitting there. But the other guy now is struggling, because now he has to ask Buzz, did you want butter on that? And you would think that these guys would work as a team.
Right.
Where the guy who's gotten the drink, he could be scooping the popcorn and putting the butter on, and it could all move so much.
Sure, like a machine.
Go ahead.
Anyway, it's just, they don't move fast because they don't have to.
And then the whole process stopped again with,
We're out of quarters. Yeah. I was just going to tell both of you, you know how you have a great movie experience?
How?
You know, you sit next to two of the people I was sitting next to over the weekend. You sit next to no talking. Mm-hmm. No talking from the minute they sat in their seats. Well, they happen to be my daughters,
well
but it was great. And, you know, Agent Cody Banks, which is the first movie in a long time, that was a kid's movie. It was a kid's movie like Spy Kids would be a kid's movie, but it had a little... you know, a little something for Daddy in there, too. Angie Harmon.
Ah.
Which was great. It was great, yet it was not...
Right.
Not really. You know, there are a couple of moments in there, like, he gets x-ray vision at one point and sees, you know, sees through the outfit and the underwear and stuff. But, they, you know...
Your girls won't be exposed to eventually.
It was... it moved quick enough where it was fine, but... You know, we were complaining about movie theaters with the commercials?
Yeah.
My regular movie theater has been swallowed up by a bigger movie theater, and there were much less... I think there was like a public service announcement, but there were no more commercials.
There were no... That's when they all say...
They seemed like it's a Regal bought Hoyts, okay. and there were no more commercials.
There were no commercials in ours.
Right.
It was just right to the...
Just trailers.
Right to the thing.
And they still have the word mix-ups?
The
jumble?
Thank God. Okay.
They have the slides, and what's great is...
Where it's always Julia Roberts.
Tom Hanks.
But you know, if anybody... It was Julia Roberts in the one that I went to. But the thing with my 7-year-old now, you know, just doing the... you know, I said, this is practice. I said, you know, knock yourselves out. Out loud, go ahead, start reading. And it's funny because she starts reading at her first grade pace, and then... picks up the pace as the slides start moving a little bit more.
Well, on the word jumbles, do what I do, and they're so obvious always. Just yell out as loud as you can when you solve it. Hello, my wife loves it.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, Don, I just want to say, oh, honey, thank you. Could you just get that? Oh, honey, thank you.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Oh, baby.
Come on, honey.
Yeah, I know, someone's got to stand up.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm going to get killed on our light rail system here in Sacramento, because I can't stand it in the morning. The rudest people in the morning. Quiet at 6:30 in the morning already.
Okay.
Quiet.
Thank you.
Why are you getting on there? The kids, the homeless, loud, drunk.
Hold on, we're talking about movies. What are you talking about, like walking on the street?
I guess. She's from Sacramento. What do you expect?
Life on the street.
Whatever.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, my God.
Hi.
Hey. I had the same thing. I was in Rehoboth seeing
Let me just say, you couldn't have the same thing. Because I am not exaggerating.
Nope.
And Buzz is my witness.
It's all true.
This woman was off the scale.
Yep. Loud.
I had the, I got Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
But it could not have been... listen, no offense. It could not have been as loud. It could not have been...
Nice try, friend.
As much as this lady. Not to mention the other, you know, she's dead.
Yeah.
That's my boss.
True.
New York City.
New York City.
And I'm not
exaggerating. Chocolate pie.
And I swear to God on this, I am not exaggerating the accent.
Right.
It was also decidedly southern. Oh, my God.
But our experience was in no way dampened by the strong aroma of pine sol that wafted through the theater.
Oh really?
Yeah, just swab that place.
Oh, hey, that's not a bad thing, though, you know?
Yes, I mean, it smells like a bathroom.
Yeah, but I'd rather have that than the smell of, you know, which really, you ever go into those kids' matinees?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Smell old ass.
This is Chris from Salisbury. Next time you come to Ocean City, I want you to come up to Salisbury. I'll give you free tickets to the movie.
No thanks, my friend. No thanks. Because for me, you know, it's worth the price.
Yeah.
Worth the price of admission.
It was a show.
To get this today.
Right.
And this is the thing that was real, that got me the maddest. When we walked out of the theater, and Frida was mad at me, I looked at Buzz, and I started laughing. And I said, this is ironic. This is, come on now.
Anger management.
I'm saying to Frida, and she...
Was this Sunday that you went to the movies?
Saturday. And she refused to walk next to me. And I'm running up to you. I go, come on, baby, hold on. Just listen to this. It's funny because
it's anger, man.
Right,
so,
right.
Come on. You got to give it. It's funny.
She calmed down. And then later on is when you went dancing, right?
Yes.
Right, right.
She went home and had a couple of cocktails.
Right, exactly.
And by that time, she still would not give in on her standpoint
through
that, yes, those people were wrong to talk so loudly, but I should not have said anything to them.
She said it was pointless to try. I said, you have to try. But we never did come to an agreement on that.
No, we didn't.
I think you have to say something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have to. I think it's important to say something.
If you don't say something, the terrorists win.
That's right.
I would approach it, just thinking about it. Have you ever done the... Well, you've done different varieties of shh, the thing. But I mean, if it's just... You stick with the facts, and you can't give them... You can't give them anything where they can shoot it back at you.
But we had shot them. I mean, at one point, both Buzz and I were turned around in our seats, staring at them.
They're not going to get that because if they're that inconsiderate to talk in the first place, they're not going to get it.
Sadly true.
You really, here's the phrase.
Oh, my God.
This is the phrase that works. You turn around slowly, you look them in the eye and say, if you don't stop talking... I'm going to kill you.
Hello, Don and Mike.
And you look serious. Yeah, like you're really going to do it.
A little crazy.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That was the mantra the rest of the day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And you know, I knew it during the trailer for this idiotic Eddie Murphy movie. I don't know how many more bad choices he can make, but at one point it's Eddie Murphy picking up a baby's diaper, you know, going, ooh, and she goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's like me.
Leave now.
Oh, my God. Hello,
Did they speak English?
Don and Mike. Oh, yeah.
Well, you had that going for you.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
You could have gone to the carnival in Manassas.
The Hispanic festival?
Yeah. I mean, really. I really think that at one point, I know I was on one ride, in line for one ride, where I was the only one that was speaking English. It was fascinating. My kids had a good time.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's a melting pot, this great nation of ours, and it doesn't matter, Rob.
I think the same crowd at your carnival was gearing up for the carnival at the petting zoo on Saturday when I saw... A huge pack of Mexicans throwing feed at the monkeys. And, like, not trying to feed the monkeys, but throwing it at them to make the monkeys do something. And it was just so...
Could have been from El Salvador.
My kids went on the little cups that spin, you know, those little... They're not the teacups, but they're, like, little half shells that
I know
spin around.
Yeah, and they got
Built
like a
whirl, is that what it's called?
No, right. they have, like, a steering wheel in the middle that
they've got a little thing
to.
That some of them do. These are
based
actually...
based on the teacup principle.
It's the same thing. But it tilts and they go crazy. Mm. They went on this four times, and I think because my 5-year old is now tall enough to go on
right.
the big person rides, that the chief carny in charge noticed my concern and came over to me like with three teeth in his head and went, "Just in case you're concerned, we have to inspect these twice a day. Not like amusement parks. They never have to inspect them. We're inspected twice a day. And then the fourth time they want, he said, if you want to go on, I'll let you on for free.
That's just, nice.
I said, I'm not really into that thing. I know you're not. That's why I want to see your face.
Wow. Welcome to Carnival.
Yes, sir. And of course, you know what they don't have at the carnival?
What?
They don't have plastic bags. So when you get the stuffed animals, I'm walking around. People probably thought I was Turgeon because I had parrots. I had a parrot, two parrots stuffed in one. I had two little bunnies because they give you, and only the real quality stuffed animals. Some of the stuffed animals look like they've been passed, and I had them on both sides. And I looked down at one point, and I was sitting there, and I had this big bulge. And, you know, everybody had a bueno time.
Sure.
Maybe those dolls are mules.
Yeah, you mean they're carrying like cocaine or something?
You
like
got home and cut that open, and you got like a bunch of heroin or something.
you never know. There was only one thing at the carnival that was like this rope climb and then a slide that seriously looked like you know, you go on that, you get as soon as you're not halfway down the slide before the SARS virus has already entered your lungs.
I've seen that ride. It's called Crossing the Border to Texas.
We got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The fun is, it seems like you hate crime in a sort of personal way, if you don't mind me saying so.
Why do you say that, sir?
I was just last night, I noticed you were, well, let's say more than slightly miffed, huh? Didn't you, Roger?
Yeah, yeah.
Any particular reason?
About 150,000 of them. I mean, that's how many bullets were zinging around my neighborhood growing up. Couldn't go outside, couldn't go near a window. Lived on the floor, ate on the floor, slept on the floor, watched TV on the floor. See, I didn't learn how to walk till I was 10 years old. Spent most of my formative years nose to nose with the family beagle. You know, when I'm working on a crime, I ain't thinking about the crime. I'm just thinking about that goddamn floor that pisses me off.
The Don and Mike Show.
Jizzy. The Don and Mike Show.
And now, as we continue point, counterpoint, please welcome the world's luckiest woman. Hi, honey.
Hello, my boo-boo.
Hi, baby.
I love it when you call me that.
The world's luckiest woman.
Yeah.
I got to have that made on a t-shirt for you.
Yeah, it's so true.
You know, they have those shirts, I'm with stupid. I got to have one made for you that says, I'm with Mr. Wonderful. Carol Carries. All right, go ahead.
Don, I was just pile on. No, I'm not piling on. My sister, I promise, she just called. As you know, she was at the beach. We saw her there this weekend. She had other friends that were at the beach. She was just called me to tell me that she had friends that were in the theater that saw the brouhaha you created. You know, and they didn't know what was going on. They thought it was, well, what's happening? Well, why are those people arguing? Why is that guy, you know, yelling? And why did those four people just walk out?
That's my whole point about
the way you handle it.
Let me quote Billy Joel. We didn't start the fire.
Yes, but the fire wasn't burning the whole theater until you threw gasoline on it.
Ugh. Like all those people sitting right next to us, or even the people, dare I say it, five rows away, couldn't hear that woman say,
well, I could,
oh my God.
I have witnesses in the theater now, for once, who are backing me up, that these people were annoying, they were loud. You could just turn around and say, excuse me, do you mind being quiet?
And as when Mike said that to me, I would have gotten the same thing from the guy, we're just enjoying ourselves at a comedy.
Right. Right, and that's exactly right. It wouldn't have done any good, and neither did yelling at people.
So why not get the enjoyment of turning around to them and saying...
Because I don't enjoy... You know, because...
But I'm telling you, the great moment was turning around and go, you're going to laugh.
Yeah. You know, you turned it down on us for a second, because when you started out, you were like, so what? I know. You were anger managing.
Because you disturbed the whole theater, my darling. You! Not those jerks behind us. The jerks behind us disturbed a small section of a quarter of the theater. You alerted the whole theater.
Well, BFD.
You know, that's what they're saying.
I gave them something to talk about then. Yeah. But I did it, just like us going into Iraq, I did it with the intention of liberating that audience.
The theater.
That's right.
Yes.
And you think after you left that those people were any quieter?
You know what? I bet they were.
I'd love to know.
Then why couldn't we? We should have stayed if you had thought that.
Well, the movie sucked.
Yeah, there was that.
There were people that had paid their $8.75 that you totally distracted from the story, and those people did not bother. That's
honey,
the bottom line.
Honey,
you
honey.
Said, just like in Iraq, you were killing innocent civilians. You were killing non-combatants in other parts of the theater.
That is collateral damage.
Yeah.
I am
it's
like,
happen.
I am like Bonnie Raitt. I'm just giving them something to talk
there
about.
There you go.
And your bombs are not pinpoint. I mean, because you don't have smart bombs. They hit the whole theater.
These were the dumbest, loudest talking people ever in the history of my movie going.
No, you talked louder than they did, my darling. They might be the dumbest.
Well, all right. I was really yelling as I was leaving the theater, but I was yelling at the patrons as well.
Have you ever thought about maybe standing up and just sticking your finger out as far as you can and pointing at the lady? Have you no decency, lady?
Listen, they were just pissing me off to an extent where I know it's not me and my phobia about this, that they were loud. And, God damn it, somebody has to stand up one time in one of these theaters and say to these people, you have a box at home that's about this big, 19 inches. That's a TV. You can talk to that. This thing on the wall is 30 feet.
It's a screen. Shut the F up.
No talking.
Well, I think my days of going to see hilarious comedies like that one with you are about over.
Honey?
I'll go see, say,
we
the piano with you.
You know, hey.
What?
We didn't have that problem at old school. And old school was a raucous crowd where everybody was laughing. I had no problem with that. I was laughing myself.
Yeah, but Mike is right. It does happen to you like 80% of the time.
Well, it must be some kind of karma coming back.
No, I don't think so. I think it's when you go to see the movies. I think your odds are increased when you get packed theaters that you're going to get the idiot factor more, mm-hmm. and you're going to get the kind of people that want to be me first, that always want to go to the movie on the first weekend. The me firsters are going to be the inconsiderate people. The me firsters are going to be the ones that cut in line to get in to see the movie before anybody else sees the movie, just like they're the same kind of people, with all due respect. They're the same kind of people that go to the Super Bowl and the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same kind of people that want to be down there, want to see it, me. And they're the me people that are going to be a-holes in the theater when, but then again, you know, I mean, you can't change your viewing habits.
I just pray they're listening today. I pray, because I said to the guy, you know.
I bet they've probably been to me first movies. They probably go me first to every movie they ever go to.
I leaned over and said, do you listen to the radio?
Yeah.
Listen to 96 Rock on Monday. Why? Because I've been talking about you.
I don't care.
And then he brought it. He brought it up a level.
Fine.
I don't give an F what you say.
I don't care.
Now, Mike,
if you want to talk to me, you take it outside.
He was not that dignified, okay. Morgan.
All right, very good.
Although you are going to have a chance.
Yeah.
We did see a trailer before the Clampets got behind us.
Yes. Right.
For the Jim Carrey movie?
Ah, yes.
Which does look funny.
Mm-hmm. Very funny.
Where Morgan Freeman is God.
I am God.
Bruce Almighty.
And gives him the powers to be God.
Bruce Almighty.
That's great.
And we won't be seeing that one together, my darling.
I'll go with you, Don.
There you go.
Thank you, Buzz. All right, goodbye, honey.
Goodbye.
God, if you and I went together and that happened...
That'd be a murder.
Fist fights.
Yeah.
Could be bad.
Yeah, I mean, if the guy said F you to Don...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, hey, you know, you don't need to...
yeah, seats ripped out.
Really? F you.
Popcorn flying.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Man, I want to hear Morgan Freeman and Satan. That'll be cool. Hey, you want to talk about a bad crowd? Man, NASCAR yesterday, after Jeff Gordon won, he's driving past in his victory lap, and you got like 50,000 necks all flipping him the bird. After the race, they had him right down there getting his you know, they're interviewing him and stuff, and he's right down because it's such a small track. They were interviewing him right in front of the grandstand.
Yeah,
and you can hear all these necks. F you,
who did he beat out for the? Wasn't it Dale Jarrett that he beat?
No, it was Labonte and...
Oh, Bobby Labonte. That's right. Bobby.
Mom Dale!
I just see.
He beats Dale Jr. They hate Jeff Gordon.
I did see, when we hit the beach, you know how everybody has the stickers in the back of their windows?
Yeah, number
you
eight.
Know, 3 or 8 or right. 24, whatever. Right. Well, this was a first. I saw the 3
right.
for Dale Sr. that had... a halo around the top of it, and little angels flying over it.
Oh no.
And that was right next to the one, the sticker of the kid taking a whiz.
Right.
And the kid was taking a whiz on 24.
Yeah. Very strong feeling.
You got the 3 with the halo.
Oh, my God.
And angels right next to the kid taking a whiz on 24.
He is so... hated in NASCAR, Jeff Gordon. He really, really is.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, hello. Hey.
Number.
Hello?
You have
hello?
A halo around you.
You're on the air. Hi.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know. Hey, listen, I just want to let you know, and anybody else that's listening, that most major movie chains have a satisfaction guarantee of sorts. So if you are disturbed by, you know, other patrons, or even if you don't even like the movie,
not worth the
time. You can walk out, go talk to the manager, and...
What if the manager is one of these guys with pimples on his balls, though?
I just need you to fill out some forms,
yeah.
Sir.
I feel I got my money's worth.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. This is the guy that's been waiting the longest. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike? This is Mike from Reno.
Hi there.
Hey,
Hey, I just wanted to tell Mike he's going to like the movie because there's a Heather Graham in a Red Sox bikini in it.
Heather Graham in a Red Sox bikini?
Yes. Very, very choice.
In the movie Anger Management?
Yeah. Also, she throws cupcakes at Adam Sandler.
Did you get to the Heather Graham part?
Mm-hmm. No, but this will be a good test for me about a good barometer for me about how smart people are. Okay. Do you think that was a good movie?
Yeah, I loved it. The beginning started off slow. I thought you would like the part where...
This is an important question. How long did he give it?
30 minutes.
We got into when we left after Jack Nicholson moves in with Adam Sandler.
Is that about 20 minutes?
Yeah, that's...
30 minutes? And with the altercation, and I'm asking you sincerely, how much time did you really focus on the movie?
15 minutes.
Or 20, maybe.
All right.
But still.
Is there a chance that if you hung in there that the movie might have turned around?
It's unanimous among the four of us seeing the movie together. None of us liked it.
No, and here's the thing. I love Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
I love him. And maybe the last half of the movie, it has an amazing turnaround. Mm-hmm. But he didn't get mad. He's doing... The whole thing in this movie is he's doing his shy, lovable thing, like he did in the Drew Barrymore movie. That's his character. You know, he can't believe that he's being brought into an anger management class because he's not an angry guy.
And the guy you like is the guy, the funniest line when we were down in New Orleans is, I think Rob said it, we were walking behind those two maintenance guys at the hotel, and Rob said, he loves his mama. And this guy was talking.
Oh, he was like just like Bobby Boucher.
So funny.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
I wanted to agree with you, Don. You got to speak up and say something to these people. For years, I never thought that I'd been married to a person that does, and I've been embarrassed, but half the time, they shut up and they cower down, and it makes the movie that much better.
I'm all for people speaking up, and I'm glad you do that, because you know what? I know that the majority, they might not have supported you that day, but I know silently, probably most people that could hear it were supporting you.
Apparently not my sister-in-law's friends. Wonder what's going on over there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, get your ass!
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I see the clock, Robbie. I got a minute. Hey, Don and Mike. Tom.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Tom, do I have something for you?
Yes.
Wednesday, we have a trip to give away.
Yeah.
To Miami.
To Miami.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
How would you like to come down here?
And
be the judge of a wet T-shirt contest?
Yes, I will.
Yeah! Where girls would come down... And you would be able to pour water on their T-shirts.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Would Tom be the judge?
That's
or would he just pour the water on the T-shirt?
That's this Wednesday?
This Wednesday.
Yes, I will.
All right. Let him judge it, too.
How do you spell judge?
J-U-S-T.
Just. You got it. Hold on. Charlie will give you details.
He's a just judge.
Of course, this is the first that Charlie's hearing about it, so... Bear with him.
I like that. I hope it's hot. It's
supposed to be 82, Mike.
And then will the girls get to pour water on Tom's teeth?
It's not in Mike, so you read my mind.
Password is pneumonia.
Hello?
Oh, it made me so mad that the whole thing was a setup from the beginning.
What was a setup?
Anger management.
Why? What do you mean?
Didn't that make you mad? That from the very beginning, it was a setup.
This is a guy that's busting my balls here because he knows I haven't seen it.
All right, goodbye. Get out of here.
F-U.
In a world where owning a radio is strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
Now, Buzz, your lead story today?
Yes.
What is it?
The Pentagon says the war is basically over.
Right. Okay, basically. Yeah. Well, this show is basically over.
Well, there you go.
My career is basically over.
Oh, heaven,
stay tuned
for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
Basically professional.
Right now, if you want, to go see Boston, we have fifth row tickets. See, we're going to start at the fifth row, and eventually, by the end of the week, we work our way to the front row.
The front row.
Fifth row Boston,
Oh, my God. Nissan Pavilion. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at noon.
Good.
You can win them before you buy them now. If you're the 100th caller, good luck. You want to see Boston at Nissan Pavilion? We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, maybe they're right. The Don and Mike Shows.
Time for Buzz's News, brought to you by Veramax. Sexual pleasure and performance enhancer. It's doctor developed.
Someone call for a doctor?
Clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GSC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax. 1-888. Try VMAX. Listen, let me give away these tickets right now to caller 100. Hello, Donna Mike. Hola. Well, I'm trying. Hello? Hello? Right? Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I thought you guys were looking for 100th caller.
Right, it's you. You've won the tickets to see Boston, fifth row, before you can buy them. Tickets go on sale Saturday noon at NissanPavilion.com. And what's your name?
Jimmy.
Jimmy, where are you from?
Falls Church.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Hold on.
Hi, Jimmy!
I don't know why I laugh sometimes, but you just made me laugh.
Just want everybody to notice the time.
Yeah.
Take care, Jimmy. 6:17.
Look at that.
Perfect.
We're starting the news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Get off my ass. All you people that call every day.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get buzzed any time with the news. You don't get buzzed any time with the news.
Get off his ass.
Lick it.
Lick it now.
Lick it. Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
The Pentagon says the war is essentially over. Listen to the evidence. Major General Stanley McChrystal says the big combat operations are over. Even so, he says there's still, of course, a lot of work to be done. But today is the last day that warplanes from all five aircraft carriers were flying missions over Iraq.
The indubitable brutality.
The last two aircraft of ours are now headed for South Carolina. And two battle groups will be leaving the Persian Gulf this week.
All right. As somebody who's, as everybody knows, a little anti-war at the beginning. Chance we could maybe see, one of his eyebrows, a hand, leg, a head.
I saw a crawl yesterday,
mm-hmm.
And they're doing the crawls now, even like during Sports Center.
Right, right.
But I saw a crawl saying that the Pentagon, Reuters or someone is reporting that we have found some of his DNA in
some of his palaces. That's of course.
I don't know if it's his number three, but they're saying with some of the rubble.
His laundry?
Some of the rubble over there. Oh, and speaking of that, when we were in, here's a shock, we were in a liquor store this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Buzz, Marcia, Frieda, and I.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz went over by the case where they have the bottled water and stuff.
Refrigerated. Cigarettes.
And, yeah. And found next to the Gatorade and Powerade,
right.
A new energy drink called DNA.
Try some.
And Buzz,
really, is it vanilla?
Drink it down.
Buzz held the bottle up and said, who wants to drink a bottle of my DNA?
Very good. Is that before or after the movie?
That was,
after. We needed liquor after
there
the movie.
There you go. Good.
Yeah.
After the movie.
Well, here's some more good news.
I want to drink some of my DNA.
Yeah.
Hey, baby.
Click, 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 click.
In Saddam's hometown of Tikrit, meanwhile, U.S. Marines crushed the remaining Saddam loyalists in fighting that was much less intense than we expected. And after 12 years, there are no more no-fly zones over Iraq.
Wow.
No need for them now.
All right.
And now, some other news, nothing but the best for Russell Crowe's new bride. The actor and his new wife, Danielle Spencer, dined on takeout fried chicken over the weekend as they continue their honeymoon.
I'll drink to that.
Friday night, they did go to a restaurant that advertises affordable meals starting at $3.
See?
He did pop for a $7 bottle of wine.
Who says it's her fault?
See?
No, she doesn't. She may not be a C.
See?
He may be a D.
Right. Otherwise, you'd be pleased to know they've hardly left their Australian hotel room. MSNBC reports, meanwhile, that Crowe did duck out of his wedding reception the previous weekend to approve the videos that had been shot at the ceremony.
See?
These are good videos.
It's good news and bad news for actor Sean Penn. The good news is police in California have found his car, which was stolen last week while he was having lunch in Berkeley.
Dude.
Sorry. The bad news is it did not contain the guns he had left in the car.
Listen up. That was my skull.
I'm so wasted.
Forever. Ben has a permit to carry these concealed weapons. One is a 9mm Glock, the other a Smith & Wesson 38 revolver.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Ben's car, a 16-year-old Buick, was found about 9 miles from where it was stolen.
Hey, bud, let's party.
I believe that's part of the deal. Any guy that was married to Madonna gets to carry a handgun.
And gets a free Buick.
That's right.
Famed lawyer F. Lee Bailey, he is no longer a lawyer.
F him.
Over the weekend, he's been after. Over the weekend, the Supreme Judicial Court upheld the decision to disbar him. He was disbarred for keeping the earnings on about $6 million worth of stock he was holding for one of his clients. Bailey claimed it was rightfully his. The court sees it as ill-gotten gains and a violation of ethics.
I've been disbarred before.
That was different. Over his 41-year career, Bailey has defended O.J. Simpson, Patty Hearst, and the man convicted for the Boston Strangler cases.
Well, now he can spend all his time looking for his brother, Bill.
And, you know, his...
Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home?
Has another brother coming back from Iraq.
A beetle? And don't forget their mom.
Disbar him, honey.
The 69-year-old can petition to be reinstated as a lawyer 3 years from now. Sharon Osbourne must be feeling better. Los Angeles police say they're investigating the report she got into a kind of a fight with a talent agent. Word is Sharon and Ozzy and their son Jack were dining at a Japanese restaurant with ICM's Renee Tabb showed up. Now, the two women have been at odds for months now after the agent allegedly crashed a party and won a $15,000 door prize. And she's shown. She's shown at the end of the clip. Right. Where she is sitting there talking about how excited she is. Yeah. The Tab's lawyer says she was viciously assaulted by Sharon, called names, and spat upon.
See?
Police say that if any charges are filed, they'll be on, quote, the low end of the misdemeanor scale.
See?
Cheetah, the chimp from the oldest Tarzan movies, is now the oldest living chimpanzee in the world.
What about Charlie Broyhill?
No, he's younger. No, Cheetah is older. Cheetah is still alive and living in Palm Springs. In the 1940s,
Bob Hope. Ladies and gentlemen, Cheetah right there.
Wow.
I'm winning.
I wonder if Cheetah has the same red eyes.
Hello, Cheetah.
Let me drink this steak. Cheetah.
In the 1940s, Cheetah started playing Tarzan's best friend. Today, he lives out his retirement, watching his old movies.
Eat the peanut butter, Cheetah.
Playing with toys.
Eat the peanut butter off of where Bob put it.
Thumbing through magazines, including National Geographic.
Oh, that's good, Cheetah.
And Cheetah likes to play the piano.
Back at Monkey World, Jeremy has to hold down the fort and look after Charlie.
Cheetah.
Jeremy would love to spend all day with Charlie, but there's too much else to be done.
Where's the Charlie Warhol?
Eat the peanut butter, Charlie Warhol.
Charlie
is recovering well. And no longer needs constant supervision.
I do.
With the orangutan birth about to happen, it will be hard for Jeremy to find any time to spend with Charlie over the coming weeks. A solution will have to be found soon. Charlie needs to be with other chimps.
Chimps, yeah, like Cheetah here in Palm Springs. We're seeing Bob Hope and the AP All-American football team.
This is Chelsea. We've come to one of the perennial highlights of our Christmas show.
Cheetah's going
to
lick the peanut butter.
The press All-American football team.
Lick
the cream of the NCAA. And now you
hear
the
my jokes.
We just did this on Friday.
You said we were going to play it when we have more time.
Let's start with the All-American defensive team.
You know what? I'll let this play for a couple of minutes because these are the jokes we'd already heard.
Unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cheetah, Charlie Boy, and Bob Hope.
Charlie's much younger, by the way. Cheetah is now 71 years old. Rob,
that is funny, though.
Cheetah's original owner is long gone. Before he died, he left instructions to have Cheetah put to sleep.
Put Cheetah to sleep?
It just doesn't get any better than this.
There you go, Sally.
But the owner's son convinced the owner to change his mind. Now Cheetah is in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, for eating peanut butter.
The oldest living chimp.
Wow.
The cable news networks are preparing for the worst for them, that is. Namely, when we all stop watching the cable news channels once the war with Iraq is over and won. Right now, the ratings are about the best they've ever been, but whether it's O.J. or the sniper or a war, the audience eventually goes away again.
F it, I watch Animal Planet. That's where I see my cheetah.
Fox's flag-waving...
Bob Springs cheetah eating peanut butter, right where Bob says to eat it. Lick that peanut butter, cheetah.
Fox's flag-waving approach went over well. It's had the most viewers so far for the coverage of the Iraqi war.
quoting a professor at a respected journalism school, there's a solid core of viewers that wanted to watch a station that was not interested in asking the tough questions.
Ah, buzzy, buzzy.
Marvin Jones, inside line about the sophomore at Florida State University.
I understand this guy got hit by a train this summer, but it's okay. Amtrak is not billing him for damages.
Joe Biden, inside linebacker, senior University of Oklahoma.
This guy has some appetite. I took him through a drive-in the other day. He ate the car in front of us.
Not funny, Bob.
Not at all.
Hey.
Kevin Smith, senior defensive back, Texas A&M University.
This guy has a philosophy that anything that's in the air belongs to him. Five times this year, Goodyear had to buy their blimp back from him.
Buy their blimp back from him? That's hard to say. Who gave me that effing line?
That's back when he was lucid.
Oh, poor you.
I was right to set that alarm off.
So I got a guy on the phone.
Yeah?
This is true. He's lost his job.
Oh, no.
Turn your radio down, Mark.
Hey, what's up, man?
Lost his job. Lost his girl.
Oh, God.
Now he's drunk.
That's right, man.
What's up, dude?
How you doing?
Nothing much, man. Doing okay. I'm feeling good now. I got the farms in me. I went to see my psychiatrist. I'm drunk. I'm doing good. About to go to the liquor store, and I'm about to go sign my termination papers.
You're not supposed to mix the farms with the booze.
The psychiatrist said it's okay. It's all good.
What farms are you mixing with booze?
Ambien.
Oh, my.
You know that one, Buck?
Yeah, it's an antidepressant, right?
Isn't... Yeah. Oh, no. I got my antidepressant is,
Ambien. Isn't that what Robin used to take on the airplanes?
I think the Ativan is what I took on
airplanes.
Ambien's
right.
Ambien's like a sleeping pill.
Yeah, mix that with alcohol. That'll help.
Hey, listen. Here's something that will cheer you up. Right. Listen to a joke from Bob Hope.
Yeah. Right. Joe Carter, this is back senior, University of Tennessee.
Yes, sir. This guy's a quick defender, five games this year. When the referee tossed a coin, he intercepted it.
Wow. Isn't that funny stuff there? Lose your job, the girl, and taking Ambien?
And drinking. What are you drinking?
Oh, I had some Crown Royal. Now I'm about to get some O3. I'm about to go to the liquor store.
You know what I like to drink? Play on perk tape.
Now, you're not going to drive to the liquor store, I hope.
No, I got my friends to drive me.
Nothing stops the diarrhea for Bob anyway.
You know what Bob likes to drink?
What's that?
Prime rib.
Absolutely. Mix it all up in a blender. And then the corner would be the grass on the side.
Goodbye, Mark. Sorry, dude.
You guys going?
Hey, listen, it could be worse. You could have been in a movie and had it ruined by old bitch saying, my God.
You got to stand up to those people, man. You got to tell them what's up.
Right on. Okay, Mark.
Right on.
Hang in there.
All right, man. I'll call back tomorrow.
All right. Bye, loser.
Hope you do.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Be careful.
And that guy is so depressed. They can stick him in somebody's mouth and say they're there for a tongue depressor.
VI Network.
Champions, University of Colorado, center.
You need three things to be a great offensive center. Strength, concentration, and not be ticklish.
The I Network was in full See No Evil mode when it covered the Masters golf tournament over the weekend. CBS announcer steered clear of talking about the protest nearby against Augusta National's men-only policy.
Fantastic, though, when that guy got up with those signs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here to support
and the
Martha.
The guy
the sign says, make my dinner.
Unbelievable.
And then as they're escorting him off, he flips it over and it says, I earned my shirt. Fantastic.
Well, these protests have been the big topic in Augusta, Georgia for the last 9 months, but the protests were never mentioned once in the 3-hour commercial-free broadcast. About 50 people demonstrated just out
magical. This is Jim Nance. The protests were magical.
Magical. A magical day at Augusta with the magical greens and the magical putting.
Magical.
50 demonstrators just down the street. Another 15 staged the protest in New York. Quoting a network spokeswoman, the focus of CBS Sports is on golf.
He licked his balls clean.
Magical. Where's all the Jim Nance tapes, Robbie?
They're on the next page.
You got them on the... I've moved to one page. What was it? That page?
No.
Magical.
There it is.
There you go. Hold on. Hey, Jim?
Unbelievable.
Right, Jim? You said magical all the time.
Absolutely.
Right? You were a tool.
Absolutely.
Right. Hey, Jim. You eat BM?
Absolutely.
Me too.
Absolutely.
Who's that fag?
You guys are funny.
Is that Jim Nance?
Yeah.
It's Jim Nance, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
I can't see him.
Unbelievable.
It's always fun to get an update on the best and worst celebrity tippers. Travel Holiday Magazine's just-inducted actor John Leguizamo and the Reverend Jesse Jackson into the Tipping Hall of Shame. The magazine says the preacher man regularly stiffs the staff at the Blues Alley Supper Club in D.C., quoting one waitress, "We've never seen him leave a tip."
Why don't you wonder, you Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I just like to say, if there's a chance, when I go to Blues Alley, when I put the tip down, I will not frown. I will not give the people the tip. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger driving a Hummer.
And you want to hear my John Leguizamo?
Yes.
No tip for you.
Leguizamo, meanwhile, ran up an $80 tab at a taco bar in Austin, Texas.
I don't know that one.
And left the waiter just $5. 15 would have been more appropriate. The good guys, meanwhile, include Yankees shortstop Derek Jeter, who once left a $500 tip for a $500 meal.
You know, I was thinking, just independent of this, maybe they be a great name for a porno movie.
Mm.
But you have to put a question mark in. It wouldn't be Derek, but did you? Did you, Peter? You know, did you, Eater?
Did you?
Or did Jeter? Yeah, yeah.
Did Jeter.
D-I-D-J-E-T-E-R. Did Jeter?
Madonna also tips 100%.
Did you eat? Hold on, Bob.
All right.
We got a break.
That's you. The music tells you we've come to one of the frail highlights of our Christmas show. The introduction of the Associated Press All-American Football Team.
Let's start it over again. The ropes are around the casket. They're about to lower it into the ground.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Tastier than a bowl of scabs. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi. Hello. Oh. Oh, hey, wait. Hold on.
No.
Sorry about that. Hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Donna Mike. Too bad they can't renovate the man. But back in Norfolk, Nebraska, they're renovating Johnny Carson's childhood home.
Hi-oh!
The 77-year-old talk show host grew up in Norfolk and graduated from high school there.
Yes.
The men doing the renovating hope to turn the place into a Johnny Carson museum.
Johnny.
Toward that end, they've written to Johnny asking for details about how the house was outfitted and decorated so they can make it look the same as it did in the 1940s.
The desk, the microphone, and a potted plant. And Doc Severinsen and the NBC Orchestra. Dave, come here, lick it. Dave Letterman,
right.
Lick it.
So far, the renovating guys say Johnny hasn't written them back.
I will tell you something that, you know, and I... Maybe I'm overanalyzing things.
No.
But, well, hold on there, Robbie. Last week, Regis...
A potato chip? I'm on a roll here. A potato chip?
Yeah.
I'm starting to break up a little bit. Santa's elves' feet?
Yeah.
And David Letterman's eye.
Okay.
A potato chip? And elf's feet, and David Letterman's eye.
Name a Pringle, a jingle, and a shingle.
Hi-oh!
Hi-oh!
Sorry, go ahead. You know how we get when we get into that? I'm terribly sorry. I am sorry.
Art? American Tourister?
Mm-hmm.
And Mike?
Art, American Tourister,
and
Mike.
I'm a monk, a trunk, and a drunk.
Hi-oh!
Hi-oh! Okay, I'm out.
All right.
Anyway.
You were overanalyzing something?
Yeah.
Regis
was on Leno.
Uh-huh.
And I bet Letterman gets pissed. Because
yeah.
Regis is up Dave's butt the way Dave is up Johnny's butt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you got to think that. Cause I was watching Regis today talk about how great it was to be on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
What is Regis promoting?
Regis was promoting the fact
himself
that he had just paid $5,000 to get his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Right.
And that's another crock of BS, that when someone gets their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, it's not because they've achieved anything in show business. It's because they paid $5,000.
Right. If you could pay, would you?
Yeah, Rick Dees has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
There you go.
Yeah, case closed.
The executive producer of an upcoming miniseries about Hitler has resigned.
Rob Stewart!
Because I quit. Controversy over something he said. What Ed Gernon said was that Germans accepted Hitler's policies out of fear. But he went on to say Americans are supporting President Bush's Iraqi policy also out of fear. CBS wants you to know that Gernon was not representing the philosophy of the show or the network.
Here's CBS spokeswoman Marge Schott.
Everything you read when he came in, he was good. They built tremendous highways. He turned, you know, got all the tractors going, everything. He was good at the beginning, but then he went nuts. He went berserk, I guess, and I think even his own generals tried to kill him, didn't they? Everybody in history knows that he did was good at the beginning, but he just went too far.
Just incredible!
The four-hour drama about Hitler airs a little over a month from now on CBS.
You know, I saw the ad last night during the CSI. Right. Great rerun last night of CSI.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. They were doing the ad for the May sweeps, and it starts with, it goes, CBS, it's all here in the month of May. Lucy! And it's like a behind-the-scenes Lucy, and it goes right into Hitler.
Right.
Yeah. So it's Lucy to Hitler to Raymond's brother getting married to the finale of Survivor to
CSI.
CSI.
That's our network.
That's it.
You still coming over?
Wouldn't miss it.
Thank you. For the entire month of May.
No, just one miniseries.
Oh, I understand.
Just 4 hours.
You know what?
Four glorious hours.
Just put a camera on you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Show me that.
There's a
it's my sweeps.
Well, 1 week from tonight, Monica Lewinsky gets her own reality TV show. It's on Fox, of course, and it's called Mr. Personality. It'll feature a stockbroker named...
There's Monica.
...named Haley. No, that's Monica. This is not Haley, you're hearing this. A stockbroker named Haley and 20 masked men competing for Haley's affection.
Oh, man, they ruined it by getting Monica Lewinsky.
The idea is to make Haley choose her guy based on his inner beauty and not his looks. Monica Lewinsky will not only host the show, she'll offer dating advice to Haley.
You're not going to believe this.
Who better?
Suck his D.
I just thought of something.
Right.
But you can't get a fat guy, right? Because the guy, I mean, you can wear the mask, but that's not going to prevent them from a... Are they wearing girdles, too?
I don't know. And I don't know if she'll only see them...
I believe they'll all be skinny.
Right.
Right.
Because I saw a promo where they're all in the pool together, and she's a hot piece of ass. She's wearing a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in the pool wearing... The only mask similar would be like Jim Carrey in the movie The Mask.
Yeah, they almost look like burn victims.
Ooh. Yeah, or no, even better,
what?
Tom Cruise in Vanilla Sky.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of mask that these guys have on.
That's scary. I don't like that mask.
So Monica Lewinsky will be giving dating advice to Haley. Quoting Monica, I've come to realize I've already had my own reality show.
She was a whore.
Monica's opted for privacy ever since the Clinton scandal, but now she says she realizes she's a public person.
Oh, what a...
The number one movie over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
Opening with a $45 million take.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Colin Farrell's Phone Booth was second. Followed by What a Girl Wants, Bringing Down the House, and in fifth place, A Man Apart.
That's my boss.
My boss.
She's dead. Oh, my God. That's New York City. Oh, my God.
That was the lady.
But oh, my God.
But you enjoyed the experience.
Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah. A good brouhaha.
Loved it.
Oh, yeah. It gets the blood going. Penelope Cruz is going gay in the movies. MSNBC says the co-star from Blow will play a lesbian in the upcoming movie Head in the Clouds.
Okay.
Penelope recently sued an Australian magazine that suggested her romance with Tom Cruise is a sham.
See?
She's a beard.
Tom is still dogged by rumors he's gay, which he denies in court if necessary.
See?
Penelope's love interest in her new movie is played by Charlize Theron.
Ooh. Oh, well. Let me change the buttons for that.
Front row.
Yeah, hello. Mariah Carey is a born-again virgin.
One faith.
bitch. Hey, who are you to tell that?
I'm Tommy Mottola.
Oh, the man that was married to Mariah a long time ago.
One-faced bitch.
The Star tabloid says Mariah has been celibate since she broke up with her singing Latin boyfriend nearly 2 years ago.
She misses my D.
Hey, stop interrupting the show. Who do you think you are?
I'm Tommy Mottola.
Tommy Mottola, who are you, Tommy Mottola?
I'm Tommy Mottola, and the president of Sony Records.
Oh, really?
Much like my Aaron Spelling impression, this sounds nothing like Tommy Mottola.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. That one-faced bitch.
She was married to you, wasn't she?
I got one word.
Yeah?
I got one letter.
C?
Yeah.
That's it. What was her name, Mrs.?
What's Tommy Mottola. Where's Bob? He's right over here, Tommy.
This is Sony Records.
I understand. It's a powerful. He's tight light bulb on. Here's what I want you to do.
What's that, Tommy Mottola?
Take this CD,
okay?
Put it in a blender.
Yeah.
And then have a dog lick it out of your bunk.
Hey, I'll do that. That's what I do with Cheetah all the time.
Former baseball star Daryl Strawberry says doing some real jail time.
Daryl
Strawberry. Strawberry, I'm sorry.
Daryl Strawberry.
He spent some real jail time, and he said that made all the difference in his battle with substance abuse. Starberry just got out of prison last week. Hard to do that with a straight face.
The only substance problem I have is making them. I can't make any substances.
The 8-time All-Star who won World Series titles with the Yankees and the Mets served 11 of his 18 months for cocaine possession and parole violations. He says being behind bars did a lot more good than any of his many stays at rehab centers.
Tommy Mottola, Daryl Strawberry. Mariah Carey, up a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. That's not funny. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Bob in a funeral carriage.
According to Daryl, certain people have to go through certain channels to come to grips with themselves, and that was me. In sports...
Named?
Yes?
Okay, hold on.
What?
Named?
An army?
Uh-huh.
An army?
Mr. Ed?
Mm-hmm.
Bob Hope.
Army? An army? Mr. Ed and Bob Hope.
A force, a horse, and a corpse.
Sorry.
In sports, Michael Jordan can just enjoy playing basketball and saying goodbye again. The Washington Wizards are out of the playoffs, so Jordan's career may be down to its last two games. Before the season finale Wednesday night in Philadelphia, he plays at home tonight against the Knicks. If nothing else, the Wizards got 84 consecutive sellouts from Jordan's latest comeback, and that's an NBA record.
There you go, season ticket holders.
University of Kansas coach Roy Williams is headed back to North Carolina. A couple of KU people who met with Williams today say it's sad for the program and the players.
Hey, hold on. Where's that tape of him denying that to Bonnie Bernstein?
Yeah, you know, really. It makes it all the more heinous, doesn't it?
Listen to this now.
You got the short version?
Yeah.
In the new context.
Oh, no. Yeah, here's the short version.
I could give a shit about North Carolina right now. I've got 13 kids in that locker room that I love.
Coach, thank you.
Click, click.
Finally, it's now up to a jury to decide if an Aspen, Colorado man deliberately exposed himself to a woman while the two of them rode a chairlift.
What do you think of this?
Lucas Ross is pleading innocent. He says it was an accident. Quoting him, it was visible, that was true, but it definitely wasn't on purpose. I guess I forgot to zip up.
It's a lady.
I was wondering why it was so cold down there. But the woman who cried after the sighting says she thought the guy had...
Hey, it's a lady.
Dropped something into his lap, but she says that when she looked over, she saw his thing sticking out of his fly. The woman is quoted as having screamed, "Oh my God!"
You are kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Man, it's true. That's cold.
And I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Listen, tomorrow.
Some IRS fun. And also Chuck Barris on the show tomorrow. That's it. Got to go. And don't forget, Wednesday, a wet T-shirt contest for a trip to Miami outside.
Yes.
With Tom Gavin in the hose.
Tag.
That's it. We got to go. Good day to you, sir.
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 Good day to you, sir. Hey, friend.
How wild. I'll see you in the sandbox.
Yeah,
Peter J.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.